Yeah, right. Super villain convention. That's funny. Super villain convention. That's funny.
So, we're at the oval table.
Edge.
What?
The wrestler Edge.
I was like, you don't need any more words than that?
That's all I got for you. It's going to be our biggest ratings ever.
Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Previously on the Matthew Aaron Show. Huh. And by the way, I want Frank to buy me new jeans, too, so let's hope they all do real well.
I want to buy you a Cadillac.
Oh, Frank, there you go.
Yeah.
There
you just found the way that Matthew Aaron
I just
Aaron
need
parts.
That next bump, and you're getting a Cadillac delivered, my friend.
That's what I mean.
And we've talked about this in the past, Matt. You know, we got to be ballsy, and we got to be inventive, and we can't keep going to the same five guys and trying to get movies made. And I think the only way you break that mold is to recognize that you've got a guy that could be an absolute and is and has all the qualities of a leading man. And I think that that's what you push. And it's a Sisyphean, Herculean effort at times. It doesn't matter. It's worth it. It's worth the stretch. And it's worth the push. And nothing would make me happier. So, you know, you never know. I mean, things change. But, you know, like I said, I think highly enough of Frank that I wrote, for maybe the first time in my career, I wrote a role specifically for an actor.
That's
and
right.
I wrote that role. To be played by Chris Pine for Frank Miller.
And then Bruce, worst show of the year.
Animal Practice. Absolutely.
That bad, huh? That bad.
Oh, God. It's bad. You know, it's like Justin Kirk. I don't know what that guy, you know, thinks when he wakes up in the morning, but he just keeps getting cast as an asshole.
He looks into the mirror and goes, I'm not Frank Grillo. That's what he does.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Joanna Garcia Fisher, come on.
I thought Weeds was awful after the second or third season. I thought Weeds was awful, and I thought he was terrible on Weeds.
Yeah. You know, it's like it's monkey abuse, basically, as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's like.
What's happening, Charles?
I am, baby.
Woo!
It seems like every girl that I'm attracted to is like the opposite of my mother, so I don't know.
Well, maybe your mother's special and you just want to keep your mother, and you don't want your girlfriend to have any similarities to her because...
I mean, look, without getting too graphic, just like, let's throw it down the line. My mom kind of has huge tits, not really any huge tits. My mom has no ass, really kind of like a nice ass. My mom, she's a blonde, really like brunettes. I mean, there's this whole trend here. I mean, I don't know.
There's definitely a trend. Chucky, have you...
I kind of have the same trend. My mom, not a Jew. Girls I go after, Jewish bride.
And welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron. www.thematthewaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. You can follow us by liking us at the Matthew Aaron Show page on Facebook. I am joined by Lee Capreas.
Hello.
Chuck Salvatore. He'll say hello from a distance. Mikey Terzo.
Hello, guys.
Alex Luisi's here. He just wants people to know.
Say hello from a distance.
He helps fill
There's a reason for that.
And Adam, my sound engineer, is back from his car dilemma.
Alex is like that guy that works at Jewel bagging, and there's always one at every grocery store.
I think we know where that's going.
Yeah. Although when you see that guy, he usually has a mustache like Adams. Is that a crumb catcher, dirty Sanchez-looking thing or what?
Yeah, anyway, but yes, I have to say. So don't worry, Alex. That just means we all love you that much more.
Don't worry, listeners. We'll be joined by Adam Edge Copeland in 10 minutes. And then we'll be back for you after that interview. And hopefully we are entertaining you tonight. We're going to talk about Chucky, who I hooked up with a fine broad this weekend. You know, the usual for me. I'm always hooking up Chucky with broads. The hotties.
Thank God for Chucky.
thank God for Chucky. God for
Chucky. Chucky, if it wasn't for you, I don't know if Pugface would have been, you know.
No. You get benefits thrown for you, Chuck.
And let's see what else is going on. We got a lot of stuff going on that we're going to talk about. I interviewed Edge, Adam Copeland from the WWE, as Charles would know well. I interviewed him last week. I'm going to play today. Charles, you're a wrestling fan. Don't lie. Take a microphone real quick.
Come here. Hold on, Charles.
Charles can educate everybody on the edge. On the edge.
I used to be a wrestling fan.
Well, you were a fan when Edge was around.
Yeah, Edge was very good. I liked Edge.
Yeah. Yeah. He's known for what? The TLC matches.
Yeah, TLC matches. Won Money in the Bank a couple times. I think he won the championship a couple times.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah. He's in the Hall of Fame now. He had to quit because of I think it was a neck injury.
Yeah, his neck. Yeah, yeah.
Really screwed up.
I thought it was his back because I remember that one thing. That one time we were watching. They did it. That was he powerbombed or something on a ladder, and the ladder broke in half. Like, I never seen a ladder break in half in my life.
Yeah.
I thought that broke his back.
Yeah, but I think they used, like, those $5 cheap Walmart ladders that didn't really...
Well, that still can't feel good.
No, I mean, of course not.
And it probably feels less good how cheap they are.
We just lost Walmart as a potential sponsor. I want you to know that.
Sorry.
And for those of you not familiar with wrestling, TLC is not the channel that the match was on.
And it's not the 90s.
Yeah, and here. Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Yes, it's tables, tables, ladders, and chairs. Yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Oh, Charles is into it.
Puppies! What's up with this pre-taping these interviews right now? Because was that the only time he could do it?
That was the time he could do it. Okay. Though I talked to him today. It didn't seem like he was doing much.
No,
Tobias. No, oh, no, I'm sure Edge was very busy today. I'm sure he took time out of his busy day to talk to me. So, go ahead, Mikey. What did you have to say?
Oh, nothing.
You had
entertaining? Yeah, I just had an insult, but I just said I'd just keep it to myself.
You keep it to yourself?
Yeah, I don't hurt any feelings.
Are you playing polite today?
It depends on who it's directed at.
Uh-oh. You know who that is. No? Oh. We thought it was Leonard Cannata, but the sound from the floor wasn't enough. So... Edge will be joining us. Edge is going to talk to me about his role on Haven with Kate Kelton.
Yes.
Mikey lit up like a Christmas tree with that.
Did he also break down his Oscar-worthy performance in Highlander Endgame?
I brought up Highlander.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Yes. I brought up Highlander. And then we talked about the movie he did with Jamie Kennedy and Jennifer Esposito, who's... I like Jennifer Esposito, though. You can't go wrong there.
And then there's Jamie Kennedy.
Well, poor Jamie.
What's wrong with Jamie? I didn't say nothing.
I'm trying to remember what's the last Jamie Kennedy movie I saw I liked. He was in Scream 1 and 2.
There was a rerun of the Jamie Kennedy Experience that was okay.
Did you watch that show?
Yeah, occasionally. It was all right.
It was an experience.
It was an experience.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't great, but you know, it was good.
Wasn't that just like punked?
Yeah, pretty much. Except for he did it on regular people, not celebrities.
See, I like that more.
Yeah. And he's a lot more funny than Ashton.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is he? Yeah.
I
believe it.
I'm not a
big
Ashton Kutcher fan.
I believe it. I'm Ashton's never really made me chuckle.
Didn't somebody take over the show after Ashton just kind of...
Oh, they have a new punked, yeah.
Oh, there's a new punked.
That's what you're talking about.
Who's running it now?
I don't know.
Some guy, they put a hat on him and turned it sideways.
No, it's not Bieber. Well, he did a couple of shows, but he didn't host them.
You know, I have a question.
Bieber, he says.
Did you guys see the one where they got Kanye West?
No.
And he, like, flipped out.
What happened? Explain it.
Oh, he was swearing and, like, throwing stuff. Like, it was.
Well, how'd they set him up?
I really don't remember.
So it's not that great.
It was something to do with his car and his necklace, and they were in a parking lot. Actually, the one where they got John Mayer was probably one of the better ones.
What happened there?
Don't remember.
But was he screaming and swearing and reacting the way everyone reacts?
Boy, our audience is on the edge of their seats right now. Tell me more about John Mayer. Don't remember. Tell me about this Kanye West. Don't know. Okay, well, that's very good. I'm glad that's... and by the way, Friday, I am interviewing Gabriel Iglesias. The
Fluffy.
Yes, Fluffy, the stand-up comic who's pretty fantastic.
Yeah,
from what I'm and from what I'm told, he has a huge fan base. Mikey's a fan.
Yeah, huge fan. Actually, for those of you who have not seen it, you have to go onto YouTube or go to his website. He has a website where you can actually buy like Fluffy gear and like different kinds of web shirts and stuff that he has.
Sounds sexual.
It's just,
wow, you know.
That sounds like those animal costumes you buy to have sex in that people do. That I've heard about, that I never did.
We should call those things we eat at the Chinese restaurant
and Mikey,
little pillows of Gabriel.
What Lee was just referring to, we know someone who's into that.
Yeah.
Who?
Do you want me to say?
Yeah, who's into dressing up?
Bailey Mannix.
Oh, he's an animal? I didn't know this.
That's what I've heard.
Furry. It's called furry.
Well, he's an independent wrestler, so of course he's into doing some work.
By the way, Edge fans are really into this kind of discussion.
Well, they may know Bailey Mannix if they're Chicago independent wrestling fans.
This is really just getting a little odd. I mean,
so should we just get to the Edge interview so these people can calm down?
Yeah, let's get to the Edge interview. And,
I think someone broke...
I think this has been one of our best discussions yet.
Someone's breaking their Mac right now going, when are these guys going to stop talking?
Soon. Wait. Did most WWE fans have Macs or PCs? I feel like some...
are they PC people?
We don't get them in the trailer.
Oh, no, you had to go there.
I just said I was a wrestling
fan. Charles, be honest, though. How many Chicago fans are there for WWE? Always
you're,
tells that.
You're making fun of the way they talk Ben Stein voice?
Hey, at least it wasn't Gilbert Godfrey. I did an impression that wasn't Gilbert Godfrey, right?
I'm expanding my talent. You guys should be happy.
That's true.
And,
how many times have I gone to WWE when it was at the Ultimate?
A million. By the way, we also need to talk about later this castration story Mike was telling me about.
Yeah, we got a couple
so
stories.
So stay tuned to hear about the Japanese getting castrated.
And the Korean, or the Hong Kong man, or whatever the fuck he's got.
So let's go right into Edge. This is our new pal, Adam Copeland, talking about Haven, talking about his career, and we talk a little bit about everything. You'll enjoy it.
Crack open a Muscle Milk or a Mountain Dew Code Red and enjoy.
Yeah.
I miss the days of Macho Man.
I miss him
Macho
a lot.
Man, yeah. I mean, Macho Man and Hulk, those were the days when wrestling was just so ridiculous, it was great to watch.
Hulk was great,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Macho Man was the best.
Yeah, awesome.
He always gave those like coked out interviews.
Anybody who can wear that many sparklies and still be interesting, I'm all for it.
And still be a tough guy.
Yeah, right.
Hulk.
Anybody who could dress that gay and be that tough is definitely a Macho Man.
Hulk single-handedly put the fake stage wall industry in business.
Yeah.
Somebody had to bust or something.
Yeah. I feel bad for these guys, though, because everyone busts their balls about wrestling being fake and whatever. These guys get hurt, and they get hurt pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
The Rock got hurt at WrestleMania. He had some kind of hip thing or something. I mean, these guys are getting hurt all the time. It's painful.
I mean, it's
Charles has been hit with a steel chair.
I mean, they're fake fighting, but it's
sorry about dumb. That, Charles.
Yeah. Does that make any sense?
Fake yeah, I guess. That, yeah, yeah.
That's all right, Lee. I'll get your back later.
Charles, you've been hit with a steel chair?
Yes.
Why?
Backyard wrestling. Back in the day, did a little of that.
Did a little of that.
Did a lot of that.
Mikey's learning a lot about you right now.
Mikey likes these shows because he just has ammunition to just nail
Mikey,
me
I think he Charles likes these
backyard
shows.
Charles,
wrestled. Charles, I don't want to know a whole lot about what you do in your backyard, okay?
All right.
It wasn't my backyard.
All right. Adam, you could shut us off. This is Edge. He's talking about his career, and hopefully it opens up your eyes to who Adam Copeland is, the man. Thank you. All right, I am here with Adam Copeland. You may know him as the R-rated superstar Edge from his days in the WWE and the WWF. He is on Twitter currently right now at EdgeRatedR. I guess you could see him on Haven Friday on the Sci-Fi Channel with our good friend Kate Kelton, Eric Balfour, some other great actors are on that show as well. But I wanted to ask Adam Copeland, first of all right, do you still go by Edge or Adam Copeland?
Well, here's the thing. I never actually introduced myself as Edge. All throughout the years, I always said, hey, Adam, nice to meet you. Because it really sounds weird to go up to someone and say, hey, Edge, nice to meet you. And to kind of like do the dog hearing a whistle kind of thing, like look at you like, huh? So to me, it's always been Adam Copeland, but I've answered to both a lot over the years.
Okay. All right. That answers that. Because my producer's like, I don't know what you should call him. And I'm like, well, I don't want to get speared. So.
No, I'm officially retired, so no danger in that.
Well, let me ask you this, though, brother. Okay. You swore up and down you wouldn't do Twitter.
I know.
All of a sudden, 2 days ago, you sign up 77,500 followers.
Yeah, well, here's the deal, and you know, I was going to post a tweet about it tonight, because I swore up and down, like, I'm the non-technology guy, I'm the guy that'll be up in the mountains and I'll see you when I see you kind of thing. Said it during my Hall of Fame speech. Yeah, I mean, up and down, and I am a complete hypocrite, because, and fully admit it. And that was my first tweet, actually. It's like, yep, I'm a hypocrite, because here I am.
I saw that, yeah.
Part of the deal is I had a lot of people come up to me and say, well, how come you don't tweet me back? Or there's this Twitter, there's that Twitter. And then the one that really got me, though, is apparently some, I'm assuming, guy was claiming to be me and raising funds for cancer awareness and pocketing it. And I just thought, wow, what a scumbag. Well, we need to shut people like that down. So I thought, hey, if I start one, then that can't happen anymore.
Yeah, that is yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's great reason. You don't look bad for being a hypocrite.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'll do it.
By the way, it's just something about the wrestling industry. And by the way, welcome to Hollywood now, brother. Welcome to acting. Well, I mean seriously, because there's something about the wrestling industry where the fans take everything so literally that when you say you're not going to do something and then you do it, like something as stupid as Twitter, I mean, they'll fucking let you know about it, brother.
Oh, yeah, they'll jump on you. You know, it's really it's a strange industry in the respect that the lines really get blurred because, okay, yeah, it's entertainment, and but they take it so seriously. You know, they a lot of people will say, well, it's fake, right? Well, I mean, it's not the best word for it, but it's entertainment. We get hurt, and then if you know you go it's a very strange, weird kind of blurred line type of thing, where you know people will assume it's, you know, it's phony or this or that, but then take it really seriously.
Let me ask you about Haven. I want to get into this because this is a show that a lot of people I think need to tune into. Emily Rose, of course, as well. I forgot Lucas Bryant. Okay, so you played Dwight Hendrickson on this show. You're basically the town cleaner, if you will. And cleaner's like one of those new hip terms that's been going around for basically you're an assassin. You're the Mr. Wolf. You're Pulp Fiction. You're Harvey Keitel. But
that's exactly.
But explain to our listeners what was it like to get into acting after all your years in the WWE, working with Jamie Kennedy? You guys did a film together, right?
Yeah. While I was still with WWE, it was one of the WWE films, and so we shot that while I was still wrestling. I guess about 2009 down in New Orleans.
And is that before you hurt yourself with your back and your neck?
Yeah. I mean, the neck has been ongoing because I got you know, the original fusion surgery in 03, but was forced to retire, you know, so I was still maintaining the schedule, shooting the movie, going back wrestling, shooting the movie, going back wrestling, and that was my first real kind of experience. You know, I did little things here and there. I did Mad TV, and I did a little thing in a Highlander movie once. But
I saw the Highlander.
Yeah, I was like, you know, my first year in WWE, and they were like, hey, do you want to fly to Romania and do a, you know, a small part Highlander? I was like, yeah,
I mean, brother, you had the look, though. You got to admit it. You had the look.
Well, there was a whole lot of hair back then, that's for sure.
Yeah, the haircut. I mean, people exploded on you about that. Calm down.
I know, right? And you know what? It was like 90% dudes that were hot at the fact that I got my haircut. I'm like, really, man? Like, you're upset about it.
Uh-huh.
Like, kind of assume, okay, maybe the female demographic might be kind of, okay, whatever, okay, but any woman so far has been like, I really like your hair. Guys have come up to me with, like, tears in their eyes, like they're like a baby seal, like, oh, I can't believe you cut it. I'm like, seriously?
Oh, that's so funny. So talk to me. You were saying you were going back and forth from the WWE to this film. Now, how'd you stay in character for your role? And, like, how'd you balance the two? And especially since this is your first lead role, how'd you stay so into it, man?
It was difficult. You know what the hardest part was? I had no preparation whatsoever. Didn't know what I was walking into. You know, nobody told me anything. I was just like, okay, I'm shooting a movie. It starts this day. They got me a private jet to go from SummerSlam to New Orleans to start filming. I land at 4 a.m. We start shooting at 6 a.m. I didn't know what sides were. I didn't know anything. I had no idea what scene we were shooting, nothing. So I didn't know what to study, didn't, and nothing. So I walk into this scene with Jennifer Esposito, who's looking at me like I'm a caveman, right? And I have no preparation at all because, like, I knew the script, but I didn't know it by heart because, I mean, that's what sides are for. So I sweat my way through that first scene. It was horrible, but then I thought, well, I can't get any worse than that. And so that was kind of the hardest part, you know, and also the transition of, you know, going from wrestling, which is this huge over-the-top, like, facials and things like that, to pulling all of that back because now, you know, the Hollywood cameras can pick up your nose hairs. So
right.
You got to, you know, you'll look like a madman if I did the things that I did in wrestling. And the parts I've done so far don't call for that. So I really had to, kind of pull the reins on that kind of stuff.
Well, let me,
that was the biggest transition.
Let me say, you attached yourself to what I think was one of the better WWE studio movies here because you're working with, like you brought up, Jennifer Esposito, which is nothing bad about that. Alicia Witt, who I love, and my good pal Mike Binder, who did Upside of Anger. She was in that. She was fantastic in it. And this is Bending the Rules I'm talking about with Jamie Kennedy,
yeah.
Jessica Walter. I mean, you worked with some good, good actors for this film.
I know. I looked at the cast, and I was like, yeah, Philip Baker Hall, Jessica Walter.
Philip Baker Hall, yeah.
What am I doing here? I'm sharing scenes with, you know, like Lieutenant Detective Bookman from Seinfeld, like, I was a little kind of intimidated. I was a little trepidatious, especially meeting Jessica Walter. I mean, she's a proper actor, and, you know, she shared the screen with Eastwood. It's like, what am I doing? And she couldn't have been sweeter. And everyone was really open because they knew. I made no bones about it. It's like, I don't have any idea what I'm doing. So my ears... and my eyes are wide open here, so please just help me.
Hey.
Take my hand, please.
And I want to also bring up something. I read your book. It was your Adam Copeland on Edge.
Yeah.
And you wrote this thing. There's no, like, you wrote the fucking thing.
Yeah, no ghostwriter.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you about this because there's some really interesting things that, you know, you find out about yourself and that. And, you know, we know so much about the wrestling side, but I love the fact that you're just this guy. You're really into hockey, I take it. I mean, you're really into some rock and roll. I saw the other night you said you were going to Pearl Jam, Foo Fighters, two of my favorites.
I'm on my way there right now.
Are you on your way there right now? Is that what's going on?
I'm in Atlanta right now.
Oh, brother, that is going to be awesome. What's your, like, top two, three Pearl Jam songs?
Oh, man. It's so hard. Yeah. I love Corduroy.
Yeah.
Man. State of Love and Trust, I love. And then it's like you got to love Black, Yellow Ledbetter.
Ledbetter was just supposed to be a B-side, brother. Just like nothing.
I know.
And it is a great, great jam, and it turned into one of their biggest hits.
It took a life of its own.
Yeah.
And it's like Black. They, you know, the record companies wanted Black to be a single, and they said no.
Yeah.
And it just took a life of its own, too, and became like a hit without them releasing it as a single, which... Yeah, and that's the kind of stuff I appreciate about Pearl Jam, too. You know, different set list every night. Every time I've seen them, it's different.
Yeah, did you see them when Eddie Vedder went on tour with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers?
No.
Oh, my God, brother. That was a show. What's some of the best rock concerts you ever been to?
Anytime I've seen Pearl Jam, I've just been absolutely blown away just by the mood in the arena. You know,
did you ever hear Did you ever hear Eddie's cover to "Rain Over Me" from Mike Binder's movie "Rain Over Me"? Mike, I got a story for you, and I'm just going to tell it to our listeners and to you because you're such a big Eddie fan. I know that whole story. So basically, they went to the Who and asked to do the song. And they thought they'd never be able to do it. And Mike and Adam Sandler, they really wanted somebody. And Steven Tyler wanted to do it because Liv was in the movie, he was on the set, whatever. So Steven wants to do this song, "Rain Over Me." And Mike's just like, no, man. And it's Steven Tyler. How do you say no to him?
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, no, man, I don't think so. I just don't think that's going to be right. And basically Mike called up Eddie and he asked Eddie and Eddie said he did not want to do it. He goes, dude, that would be huge for me. That'd be great for me, but there's no way I can do that song. And what happened was the remaining members of The Who ended up contacting Eddie and saying, you're doing the fucking song. We want to hear it from you. Yeah. And Eddie did it.
And was it one of those deals where he was like, I don't want to.
Yes, he didn't want it.
For me almost, right?
Right, right. That's exactly what it was. It's like, dude, how can I do Love Rain Over Me? You know, because Pete Townsend, man.
Exactly.
You know, I thought you'd like that story about how that got done.
That's cool. I don't know that one, so that was good.
No, it's great, man. So all right, you're doing the L.A. thing now. You got Haven going on. Haven's fucking awesome. It's taken off. You did some episodes last year. What can we expect out of you this year with Dwight Henderson? Are you recurring? Like, did you do any scenes with Kate Kelton, by the way? She's smoking hot. I don't know if you've worked with her.
I did do a couple of scenes with her, actually. And it is recurring, thankfully. It just this ended up kind of being a happy accident. Fell on my lap. You know, I retired, and I got a call from WWE, and they said, hey, do you want to, you know, do a part on Haven? I went, oh, yeah, that'd be great. Because my first instinct after I was told I had to retire was like, okay, go up in the mountains, no Twitter, all that stuff. Once again, I complete hypocrite. 2 days later, I'm on a plane up to Nova Scotia, filming what was supposed to be a one-off part, just like one episode. They wrote two scenes. I found this all out this season. It was pretty funny. They wrote two scenes for the character of Dwight because they assumed that I was going to be like this, you know, gruff kind of like wearing my underwear, kind of shouting my lines kind of guy. And then one of the writers, Brian Milliken, he was like, no, man, this guy, he's got some chops. So they watched my retirement speech, which was not acting at all. That was all real emotion. So thankfully, they watched the best thing they could have. And so they went, whoa, okay. So they wrote two different characters together, and I got four scenes in that first episode. And I guess it went really good, and that became four episodes in season two. And then this year, it became seven episodes. I've kind of grown into this, you know, so I'm told anyway, a little bit of a favorite among fans, I guess. So it's fun. It's kind of fun to take this thing that wasn't really supposed to be much and help make it grow into something that, you know, it's a pretty cool character on the show.
And, of course, it airs on the 21st tomorrow, and I heard you made your return to SmackDown, so it's like 3 hours Edge tomorrow.
Yeah, you're stuck with my ugly mug all over the place.
What's it like to still do WWE things? Because obviously you're not physically active. And by the way, God bless you for not being, because we know what's happened to so many wrestlers throughout the years who have been really injured, really banged up, and they just keep putting their bodies out on the line. And you were doing that for years. I mean, those ladder matches, those TLC matches, one of the questions we got from a listener, let me find it here, was basically he's asking, I mean, was it those TLC matches that really screwed up your back, you think?
And thankfully, my back's okay. It's all neck centralized.
Yeah.
Really, like, from my C7 up is where it all is.
Okay.
You know, my back feels good. I say that now. But and I think that's where it all stemmed from. You know, that being said, man, I sprained my neck three times when I was a kid growing up. You know, I just landed on my head a lot. So I for whether it was track and field or whether it was pretending to be Spider-Man or wiping out my BMX. I just ended up, you know, slamming into trees and things like that a lot. Like, you know, a lot of kids, it just ended up that I'd do it head first. So I'd always kind of had some neck stuff. So, you know, you might say not the best profession to get into, but I had to do it. So anyway, I think the TLC is what really sped it up, sped the process along. I ended up kind of getting pigeonholed into those matches too. You know, I've had more ladder matches than anybody in history. So when you show that you can do them with a wide variety of opponents, then suddenly it's like, oh, we want Ric Flair to have a ladder match. We'll put him in with Edge. He's had 20 of them. and that's kind of how that ended up working.
Are you feeling a lot better now, though, brother? Are you doing okay? Like, what you just, you know,
well,
what
I mean,
deal?
I got to get surgery November 8th on it, which I've put off basically since I retired. And I put it off because, you know, they're like, we want to put you in the Hall of Fame this year. I was like, well, I don't want to show up in a neck collar having dropped 20 pounds from sitting on my butt, you know, or gained. As I'm getting older, it might be gained. and I don't, you know, I wanted to do Haven. I wanted to make that commitment. So I kept putting the surgery off that, you know, the reason I had to retire is because, you know, they said you got stenosis. We got to clean out the pressure on your spinal cord. So I was like, okay, but maybe it'll feel better when I stop getting thrown around. Now it feels better, but I still got to get it done. So November 8th, I get that done.
How long you out for from the acting game if you're doing it November 8th?
It'll be about 4 months. About 4 months. And, you know, I've already kind of mapped everything out so that I can just take that 4 months and just kind of sit, recover. There's nothing to rush back for. You know,
isn't it beautiful that you don't have to, like, hit the gym right away?
Yeah, you know, I know I'm going to want to just because of, you know, kind of
it's who you
nature,
are.
But,
yeah.
But, you know, my girlfriend's trying to pull the reins on me already and say, yeah, but you can't get out your mountain bike. I'm like, yeah, I know, but. that'll probably be the most difficult part is just trying to calm myself down and realize, hey, there's nothing physical to rush back to this time.
So you're a mountain man. You're a Carolina guy now, right? Is that what I hear?
Yeah.
So,
yep.
I mean, how do you balance? I mean, are you going to take this acting thing as a, like, part-time thing, or are you going to do the whole LA thing, or what's the deal, and why the mountains, man? What's so great that you like about Carolina and stuff?
Well, you know, I'm still not sure exactly how serious anybody's going to take me acting, let alone how serious I'm going to take it. You know, it's been a lot of fun so far, and I know I got to do something creative. I can't sit in an office. I can't, you know, that's not me either, and I also just don't want to, you know, sit and do nothing for the rest of my life. I want to get out and do some stuff. So this kind of seems like a natural extension off of what WWE was, where there's elements of acting and storytelling in it. And like I said, I've had fun with everything so far. So would I like to do more of it? Yeah. Do I expect it to be a full-time thing? No. If it turned into that, would I do it? Yeah, I'd do it.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
Especially depending on what it is, you know.
Yeah, so but I'm wondering more about the business then. So you're in the mountains, like, so do you have like do you have like an agent or something? Do they like call you and offer you gigs? Because you're not out there really networking. You know what I'm saying? And but most of the business we know about.
Yeah, I know. I'm not much of a networking guy.
Right. Well, no one. I truly believe no one likes it because I hate it, but I still have to do it. But knowing I hate it, I'm like, how can anyone like this? But
yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's an important component. So how do you – are you just blessed that Haven's calling you and Sanctuary's calling you? And what?
Yeah, like I said, happy accidents because I don't have an agent. You know, I'm not out in L.A. You know, I am tucked back in the mountains of North Carolina. Which is nice because I don't – and I guess maybe that's why it would end up being a part-time thing, because I don't know how well I would do around that all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm going to look into getting an agent this year because I realize it's one of those necessary, you know, aspects to it. You know?
You should.
At least that way I know when I'm not getting something as opposed to, like, knowing nothing at all.
Well, I just think, brother, I think you're a talented guy, and I don't mean that just as a wrestler. I think you're a talented actor. I thought you were the best of the bunch that came out of those movies, like I told you. And I got to tell you, man, I think you should get an agent because at least you'll have someone on the street for you going, hey, have you looked into Adam? Adam, he used to be a wrestler. I mean, yeah, he's a big name. He's got a big following. Maybe people can't totally separate him, but he may have to look for this. Look at what Kevin Nash is doing. I mean, Kevin's doing a good job, man, and he's not in California either. He's in Tampa. So, I mean, there you go.
Yeah, I know it's possible, you know. So that's kind of what this year's, you know, kind of all about is to get that, you know, up and rolling a little bit. And also another element to the Twitter thing, too. It's like, hey, I can help promote Haven. I can, with the whole network and the fan base that WWE has, they're a rabid, loyal fan base. And, because I didn't leave wrestling to go act, you know.
Yeah.
Wrestling fans know that I was forced. Like, I didn't have
to. No, they're fair about that one, unlike your hair.
They're
fair about that one, yes.
So, in that respect, they know I wasn't taken off on them. You know, I'd still be there, still be there doing it. So, that helps. And, you know, with the Twitter thing, I mean, I started it, was it Tuesday night at 1 in the morning? And I'm like, what'd you say? Was it 77,000?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good. I assume it is.
For 3 days, brother, that's good. That's good.
So, it can help. And I've realized that. I finally admitted it's like, okay, cool.
Convinced you're gonna have acting work as much as you want because what's happening now with the web and with all this original content that's going to be coming out on all these platforms, brother, they're going to have 1,000 shows. They need guys like you.
there's a lot of shows.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch.
Yeah, you can work as much as you want.
And here's the thing. Like, I watch things differently now, too.
Yeah,
you
like
know,
what?
I watch it with a completely different eye. And it's, in a way, it's taken away some of the enjoyment, kind of like
mm-hmm.
it's
the magic's gone.
When,
I told my buddy
gone.
The other day, the magic's out of the bottle.
Yeah, it's like you realize there's no Santa Claus. And it's like, ah. But in a different way, it makes you appreciate it, too. Because I watch a scene now and go, man, they busted their asses on that.
Yep.
So it makes you appreciate that. But I'll watch stuff now and, you know, watch a Game of Thrones and go, I'd love to be in that scene.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's a great show. What are some of the shows and some of the movies that you've been really into lately? Have you seen a great movie lately or any great TV?
Like I said, Game of Thrones. Love Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Modern Family.
Do you go to the movies? Do they have a movie theater by you?
They do. They do, actually. I'm remote, but I can get to it if I need to.
Oh, it's one of those things. If it's a great movie, you'll go out of your way.
Yes, exactly. And I can't even think of the last movie I saw.
Jeez.
Might have been Avengers.
Oh, that was great, though, right?
It was.
That was a fucking blast, brother. That was a fucking blast.
All the things they did, especially the interaction between Hulk and Thor.
My God, that was so awesome. It was so awesome. And I even thought the interaction with Iron Man and Hulk with Downey Jr. and Mark Ruffalo, I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. They were great together.
Oh, well, I mean, and with those two, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, you're guaranteed. I mean, are you still starstruck at all by anybody or anything? Because, I mean, one, you were in the wrestling business so long, and, I mean, you were a huge star, and you're working with Stone Cold and The Rock, and you're treated like the Beatles half the time, no matter where you go. So, what's it like, but are you starstruck by people you really appreciate and look up to in the acting arena?
I mean, not yet.
No.
But I don't know. I guess in seeing how people can react to wrestlers and knowing that how I put on my underwear and that, you know, for the most part, I think I wipe my butt the same. It's like, wow, we're all people.
Well, that's the thing. That's what everyone says. Everyone puts on their pants one leg at a time, blah, blah, blah. But I'm still a little bit. I mean, it's gone away. But, like, if I meet someone, like, real big, I'll play it cool. But, I mean, I'll walk away.
Holy shit.
Yeah, right.
Well, I think when you said Beatles, like, because I was going to say, now, if I met Paul McCartney, there'd probably be, like, a little bit of me, you know, like, going, Beatle. Like,
yeah. Or, yeah. Do you know, have you met Eddie Vedder because you're such a big Vedder guy?
Well, that was, I was going to say, that would throw me off a little bit, not going to lie.
Yeah.
You know, meeting Eddie would throw me off because, you know, I'm a massive fan. So that would that one would get me too.
Let me take a couple questions from the people that wrote me in. Someone just wanted to know, you had the last match with Owen Hart, I guess. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. What was that experience like for you? What have you taken away from knowing Owen? Does that still even, like, have a lasting impression on you and everything? It was so long ago, but...
I mean, Owen as a person totally did.
Sure.
You know, because he... Amazing, amazing guy. Funny. That's the first thing everybody will say, but just a sweet, sweet man who helped me too. Not just in the ring, but like how to, you know, navigate through airports and, oh, your flight's going to be canceled, so this is what you got to do. Okay, well, this is when a flight looks like it's going to get canceled. Oh, this one's going to get canceled. Oh, this is what you do. You know, all of those things is what he really helped me with, because he would always be connecting through Toronto. So we'd end up on flights and then, you know, he, you know, taught me rental cars, all of those things that you need somebody to teach you or you're going to get lost and messed up pretty quick.
You really had your back. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. And then to get in the ring with him, I mean, was amazing because I knew he could wrestle. And one of the biggest compliments I ever got, actually, we had a match on a pay-per-view, and he said, man, that's the first wrestling match I've had in a long time. Thanks. I was like, whoa, okay, that was pretty heavy because,
yeah.
I mean, that's Owen Hart telling you that. You know, and having his last match, it was in Chicago, and he was just...
And my hometown.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
great
absolutely.
Town. Great town.
Yeah.
Our best crowd, too, and I'm not just saying that. The Allstate Arena is...
They're amazing, and they're super smart. So, you know,
yeah.
if you happen to be a good guy or a face, then they just
yeah,
don't like
you.
Yeah, they'll
be all over you.
Yeah, they'll be all over you.
Unless you got your stuff down, you know?
That's true. Like,
if you know what you're doing, they know that you know what you're doing.
But that's the kind of crowd that nowadays cheers guys like Dolph Ziggler because they're like, oh, this
yeah.
guy's awesome and blah, blah, blah. And we don't give a shit if he's a bad guy or not.
Yeah. That, Chicago and Toronto is another town like that, you know, which kind of started.
Yeah, Toronto.
Little,
I remember WrestleMania 18 with Rock Hogan. Holy shit.
Yeah.
They turned on The Rock like... That was quick.
Yeah, I know, and that was the town, you know, where we had it, and he was like in full goof mode that night, just completely like he came out with his hair slicked but messed up at the same time. He was wearing these blue and white, you know, these god awful boots and like these red knee pads, and I'm a nun.
Because he was doing the blue, he was doing the blue blazer gimmick at the time, correct?
No, he was Owen Hart, but he was wearing like 8 different outfits.
Oh, really?
At the same time. Like just completely, you know, having fun, and so I always remember that because he was he had fun that night.
That's great.
You know, I can look back on and smile about.
That's a great memory, then. Yeah, I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
I had a question for you about wrestling, and it was just more about you and Christian. How much were you guys inspired by the fabulous Freebirds? I saw a lot of Freebirds in your guys' charisma.
I mean, there was, and kind of a lot of it unbeknownst to us, even. I think because we're...
You think
we
it was subconscious. It was subconscious. Because you didn't really get Southern Wrestling. You got WWE.
No. Yeah, we got, like, you know, BC All-Star Wrestling and International Wrestling from Montreal, and we got, you know, all WWF. So what we could pick up of, you know, World Class or NWA and all of those things was from wrestling magazines.
Yeah.
So we didn't even know, like, how those guys moved or what they did or what their moves were, how they talked or anything. Until like later on, and then you start to see the similarities. It's like, oh wow, it's just kind of eerie how. And I think that's why, you know, Michael Hayes has always had a soft spot for me, is because I reminded
you do
him,
you remind me too,
a lot of himself, kind of thing.
Yeah, I see it. Like, at least in like your character, man. I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll just remember this one War Games where Michael Hayes was in a War Games, and him and Paul Lee Dangerously had this bit outside the ring about Michael Hayes was going to go in the ring the next guy, and then the next guy would go in, and it wouldn't be him, and they'd say, I'll go in next, and it was never him. And I'm just always thinking to myself, that kind of humor and that kind of charisma, you exuded that as a character on the screen as well, and I see the similarity too.
Well, I think we both went for the rock star thing.
Yeah.
He went for more of the Southern rock thing. I went for more of the
Guns N' Roses thing.
The sleazy Guns N' Roses vibe, yeah.
Yeah, and well, you pulled it off. especially when you went R-rated superstar, though. I mean, but this is how you knew you could be a good actor, though, too. I mean, you did take it to another level at one point in time as a character in wrestling. And I think if people are smart, you know, it's weird because Hollywood, there are some wrestling fans in Hollywood. I'm being one of them. And we can judge who would actually, I think, be a good actor or not just by some of the storylines or some of the character changes you guys make on the show. And
well,
I think you did with R-rated.
Well, staying relevant in that industry, you had to make changes. And the one thing that I really learned is that you just have to fully commit. If you don't commit to it, they're going to quickly, whether they realize why or not, they being the audience, they're going to realize why something, they're not going to realize why something's not working, but they're going to know it's not working.
Right, yeah.
So that was one thing I quickly realized. And then, it's funny because there are wrestling fans everywhere. You know, they may be closet, they may put... They're everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Adam Sandler's a fan. Rob Schneider's a fan. David Spade. Nick Searcy, who I had on last night, he's on Justified, and he's amazing.
Yep.
I mean,
that's a great show, too.
Yeah, he plays Art Mullen. He's Raylan's boss, but how great's Justified? That's fantastic.
Yeah, really, really good show. I just got into that, actually. That Walking Dead, I finally got caught up on. So
Is Walking Dead a show you wouldn't mind being on?
Oh, heck yeah, especially, you know, being up in Asheville, I'm 3 hours from it.
Yeah.
So,
oh, really?
You know, it's like, yeah. Well, that's why I'm driving down to Atlanta now. It's not a far commute. So,
that's great.
That could definitely be one I could see, too. So,
that's great.
It'll be interesting to see. I was wondering about,
now you've been in both industries. I think this is interesting. What's the difference between the media and the wrestling and the media in Hollywood? For instance, what's the difference between Dave Meltzer, Wade Keller, those guys, Bill Apter, or dealing with someone like myself or other people that you deal with on the media side?
I don't really know yet. I don't know if I'm educated enough on this side of it to fully know. I'm not really positive. I don't know if there's a difference. I'm not fully sure. One difference I will say with the wrestling media is that, like, the WWE would shy away from it. They have their own machine. They want to control what goes out, what doesn't.
That's what I've heard.
I think that might be the difference.
Yeah, and, you know, I was wondering, though, like, how do wrestlers, like Hollywood people, you know, we take Perez Hilton and TMZ a certain way. How did wrestlers take the Dave Meltzers and the Wade Kellers, guys that are actually reporting about wrestling, but also sometimes would report backstage things with anonymous sources or whatever, and how were they taken?
I think there's always that element of, we don't like it, but yet we read it.
Yeah.
And I know there's also that element, too, of, man, they've never taken a bump in their life.
Right.
It's hard to take a critique from someone who's never done it. You know, there's the old, those who can do.
Yeah.
You know, so I know there's that.
But outside of the critiquing, outside of Dave Meltzer giving you a bad match review and you're like, oh, fuck yourself, Meltzer. What about when Dave reports something where he's like, I heard from so-and-so in the back that blah, blah, blah. Is that like paparazzi to you guys?
You know, I guess maybe for some guys, I truly never read any of it.
Yeah.
I was never an internet guy.
I'm gonna believe you. I'm gonna believe you, but I know that's the going answer.
True. That's why it took me so long to get on Twitter. That's why I've always felt oblivious isn't the right word either, but just kind of like, okay, it's over there, I'm over here.
Well, you know what? I meant to tell you. I know the casting director for Walking Dead. I'm going to send her your stuff. I'm going to let her know. I think you'd be great on that, brother. I think you'd be
great
on that. I'm going to see what she says because she's going to think I'm crazy, but I'll tell her. she's the greatest woman ever, though, Sharon Bialy. She's fantastic. She's casted a million things. Just a great, great casting director. Definitely someone you'd want to meet anyway. She's just fantastic. But, I mean, that'd be a great show for you. But Haven's the one you're doing, and that's Friday.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is exciting, and you get to play kind of a badass, and you get to work with the super sexy Emily Rose and the super sexy Kate Kelton. And I mean, Kate Kelton was on my show, and Kate's a pal, and, I mean, it got dirty. It got dirty.
Yeah.
out of respect to you, because I like you so much, I strayed away from all the rumor questions that I'm sure you know I'm getting from people. But Kate and I did not stray away.
Well, thankfully there's none involved with me. So
no, none with you and Kate. I mean, but all these wrestling fans, they got so many rumor questions, and I'm like, you know what? And I had to juggle it. I'm like, all right, do I ask it because it's kind of sensationalist, some of these questions, or do I not? And I just want the fans listening that know I did not ask certain questions, especially about your love life and whatever, because I just think you're in a relationship right now. You have a girlfriend. It's disrespectful. And on top of it, it's unsubstantiated. I mean, it's gossip. And, you know, I just don't think it's fair. But I just want the fans listening to know that. I didn't want you to think I'm throwing softballs and wasn't thinking about it. I was thinking about asking them, and I just didn't think they're appropriate. I just want people to know. So, I mean, Adam, I've had a great time talking to you, brother. I wish you were in L.A. so we could do a show together out there.
At some point, I know I'm going to get that way. It'll probably end up taking place after I get the surgery, so I can kind of, fully commit and give it the time it needs, rather than try and come out for, 2 days and go, okay, I got to find an agent.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Would you be willing to come on the show again and talk some more sometime? I'd love to talk more. I'd love to talk more, but I know you're on your way to Atlanta and you want to crank some fucking music, man. I know you do.
we got it on Pearl Jam right now.
I know you do, brother. I just want to thank you so much, brother. Adam Copeland, Haven, you can catch this Friday. It's going to be on. You can also catch him on SmackDown beforehand. Friday night SmackDown on Sci-Fi, 7 to 9, and then 9 to 10, Haven. I know that's central time for me. So whatever it is for people on the East Coast, I'm not going to do the math for you.
I think 8 to 10, 10 to 11, yeah.
There you go. Wow. They trained you. They told you how to do it.
Yeah.
And by the way, Adam Copeland is also on Twitter, Edge Rated R, at Edge Rated R. He's only up to 78,000 people. Whatever.
78, we gained 1,000 during this conversation.
It's getting there. So whatever, who cares? No big deal. Just been on Twitter 3 days, and he's like a rock star. Thank you so much, brother. I really appreciate it. And I hope to talk in the future. I think you're going to have a very long career.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I got your number. Do you got mine?
No.
Well,
you know what I'll do is I'll write it down for me.
All right.
Hold on. Before I hang up on you.
Okay.
So my fans can listen to this exciting non-talking I'm going to be doing.
Yeah, that's all right. It's okay.
Hello.
I think we're going to
break the sun.
Oh, that's it. All right, whoa.
What was that?
That was his
theme song. He used to have Rob Zombie for a theme song.
I think he should.
Remember he used to have Rob Zombie?
Did Rob Zombie get too popular?
I don't know. This is
my theme song.
That was Alter Bridge, who is pretty much everyone in Creed except for the lead singer. They got rid of Scott
for
a while.
You know what that is?
I like Alter Bridge.
So before, let's talk about the interview before I move on to another topic here. But Charles, what'd you think?
Very good interview. Interesting to hear you know, some of the things he said about those TLC matches and the ladder matches and everything. And those, you know, unfortunately he gets stuck in a position where, like he said, he was good with them, so it was just threw them in there on all the time. And you have to think that something like that sort of led to his injury, or you would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Ric Flair, ladder match with Ric Flair, oof, sorry, Edge.
Yeah, there comes a point in time where that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, you know what, Ric Flair.
That was on a Raw, too, wasn't it? I don't even think it was like a pay-per-view.
Yeah, I think it was a Raw.
I think it sounded like he's very not big into technology, and I just like that there are people who do technology even less than my dad who are younger than my dad.
You know what,
that gives me some hope.
I think that's refreshing. I mean, it was nice.
I agree.
What, his late 30s?
Yeah, yeah.
Mid-30s?
Something like that. He's still a young guy.
Isn't it nice that you could be retired mid-30? I mean, I know his body's all fucked
up. Maddie, we only got like another...
Isn't that kind of nice?
Like, we got 10 years. We're fine.
Yeah. He's a little...
We got 10 years to do enough that we can retire.
Look at...
I forgot to ask how much he was worth, because I read a thing in Forbes that said he was worth $12 million.
I would believe it.
Yeah, but I forgot to ask.
Well,
I bet it's more than 12.
No Lita questions.
I talked about it.
I know.
I said I didn't want to go there because, you know.
It's probably not.
Listen. There's
you're all above board.
There's busting Alex's balls about Megan, and then there's busting my new best friend, Adam Copeland, about his girls.
You know what?
That's because, you know, Adam Copeland's cool. Him? Yeah.
All right, come on. Let's be honest. We'd want to have Adam here with Alex.
No,
we wouldn't trade Alex for Adam.
Oh, I think they would get along great.
You do?
Yeah.
Are you being real, Lee?
I don't know anymore.
I'm waiting for a punchline.
I don't even know if I'm being sarcastic or not anymore.
No, either way, Adam was great. It was nice that, you know, somebody else isn't waiting in line for an iPhone or something stupid like that. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he was in line for the iPhone 5.
No.
He was on his way to Pearl Jam. That's a pretty...
That's awesome.
That's the
that's
most
great.
Interesting thing I think that a person that we have interviewed has done while we were interviewing.
He must be
I just loved it because I got to talk about Pearl Jam with someone.
Well, I mean, he's a 90s kid.
I love Betsy Brandt, but we ain't talking Pearl Jam.
No.
or Missy Pyle. I love them, but I'm thinking of all the long-haired blondes I've interviewed, like Edge. Well, he's not long-haired anymore. Kate Kelton. Oh, my God. If you're not watching Haven... on Fridays on the Sci-Fi Network, 9 p.m. Central Time, 10 p.m. Eastern. Watch Haven. Kate Kelton is, I'm telling you right now, if you're an Edge fan, you're going to watch it anyways. If you're a fan of hot broads, half naked, making out with dudes and whatever, Kate Kelton's on the show. And that's all you need.
Are they making out with other broads?
Oh, I hope so. I hope so.
That's okay.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes, Charles. Is this on? Is this on?
I got a little excited there.
Oh, yeah. Kate Kelton just favorited another one of my tweets. It's like her ears are burning. I love her. She should call in right now if she's listening. We'll talk about how much I love her.
No, Kate,
I told
great.
Mikey he's out of the spa.
We'll see what she has to say.
Are you saying I may have fabricated that story?
Maybe. That's
listen,
okay.
I just know Kate wants her and I to go have a candlelit pho dinner with a couple little Mexicans playing ukuleles and singing us little songs.
You never answered my question. When did Mexicans start playing ukuleles?
I don't know.
At candlelit dinners. Like you go to an Italian place and it's run by Mexicans
right.
who play Hawaiian instruments.
No, it's a Vietnamese place.
You're going to a Vietnamese place that's got Mexicans playing Hawaiian instruments.
Is that what they do?
They do the best version of that you've ever heard.
Oh, they play the banjo. No?
No. Just relax. We just got done with the WWE thing, okay?
Oh.
Yeah, they play the Charleston.
Come on. We love the WWE. I just can't watch it anymore. First of all, the show's 3 fucking hours.
Yeah, there's
way too long.
Interesting anymore. There's no good characters anymore.
Edge was kind of like the last interesting
The last good
guy.
One is someone that you don't want me to name.
Don't say Phil.
Okay.
Phil Brooks is not interesting in any way, shape, or form.
He's a good wrestler.
Let me remind you about Phil and I, all right, pal?
I know all about Phil
and you.
And you
didn't have my back at all.
Phil and
I didn't know you back then.
Yes, you did. You thought I was creepy and 50.
I did think you were like 37.
But that's only because Tony...
He's like, no, come on.
I
did not think you were 50.
When I was 20.
That's because Tony was like, yeah, he's much older than you. I don't know why he wants to hang out with
this
you.
This is
I'm
when
like,
I was like 20, too.
So
because
blame
I remember
Farinella.
We had to sneak into bars.
Yeah, blame Farinella because he was in on it, too. He agreed with me.
You didn't have my back, though, when CM Punk and I were going to go one-on-one.
No, I met you like twice. And I thought you were the creepy old man with the cowboy
Listen,
hat.
What is this fight you're picking with CM Punk?
That's great that everyone thinks
you
CM Punk's now like the greatest in the world. But
he's a good wrestler.
He's a piece of shit human being.
You know, I think you're the only two that I know over the age of 16 that still talk about wrestling.
We can. We can go can go longer if you'd like.
You don't know that
many
by
the way,
cool
Nick Searcy is going to hear that.
Yeah.
Nick Searcy would agree with me. CM Punk is a very good wrestler.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. I think he's a scumbag human being.
Jericho's a good wrestler, but his
he's
character
great.
Is...
And Nick Searcy would agree with me that in some ways, Temple of Doom is better than Last Crusade.
You know who... The last guy that interests me was Edge. And then Batista.
Man. But he was like... He played a villain sort of a role in wrestling.
Yeah. Batista did, yeah. You didn't like Batista?
Well, Edge did, too, didn't
right.
he?
Was I was always cool. a big Triple H fan.
What about Taker?
Well, he only wrestled once a year now.
Yeah. That's true.
I have a question for you guys.
Yes, Mikey.
Because I don't get this whole, you know, the testosterone redneck Shakespeare that you guys talk about.
Yes,
later, okay?
Yes, Mikey.
I just don't understand. I don't get it. Explain to me, like, how you like Warren Russell more than I don't. What's the draw? What do you see in this whole thing?
Charisma.
Explain it as all the WWE fans are now signing off the show.
Right. Charisma and athleticism. And, I mean, come on. How can a regular human being not like a guy like The Rock or Stone Cold or Hulk Hogan?
I hate The Rock. He sucks.
Why do you hate The Rock?
Because he's
hate
him. Awful. He's just he's a terrible wrestler. And his matches are boxing matches. All he does is those stupid punches where he opens up his hand at the last second.
Come on, you love Stone Cold, though.
Oh, I love Stone Cold. He was great. He was a great character. The Rock's character was
stupid.
What
about Hogan? You liked Bret Hart.
I did like Bret Hart.
Yeah, you did.
And look at how much of a crybaby he turned out to be. Turzo's getting very mad that I keep talking about wrestling.
The
Ultimate Warrior.
Let me explain something. We've done like an hour of fucking wrestling, okay? The Edge was great, by the way. He was great, okay?
Yeah.
But I think we're starting to get wrestled out. At least I am.
Maybe, you're getting wrestled out?
Maybe it's because I've never actually...
Are you getting out wrestled?
I'll tell you,
And you know what the ironic thing is?
What was that?
I think I'm the only...
Mike, you stay down.
Was that supposed to be like he's tired snoring?
I don't know.
Like a pig snoring.
All right. What, you, Charles?
All right. We're going to change the topic. I want to play...
Boxing.
I want to play a song for you that I've really gotten into. And it's like my new workout song.
Okay.
Now, I want your opinions of whether you like it or not. No, it's not. It's Raining Men.
Oh, it's not. It's not. It's Raining Men.
Can we listen? Can we enjoy this?
Yeah, let's listen.
I want
let's
your
see
opinion.
What it is. Come on.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
I have a feeling that this is not the original version. All right, so can we get...
Well, right now people think it's just alive, but it's way better.
Can we...
Was it Journey that originally did this song?
No, Survivor.
I thought that was the name of the song.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Now this is where it gets great.
Oh, is it?
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh,
this?
No.
This?
You get
really?
Your...
Oh,
listen.
Boy.
Listen.
No.
Listen. You get the best of Adele and Survivor all in
Maddie,
one.
Could we talk
Maddie,
about
no.
the ridiculousness of this? And by that, I mean you're working out?
Barely.
Manny, no.
For about 4 minutes and 17
seconds.
I was going to
say.
I can't.
Did he go up the stairs to get cake from the fridge?
Mikey, how do you not like this jam? I mean, come on. How awesome does this sound?
Huh?
You're loving it, right? Let me tell you something.
So what? Is it...
I was rolling in the deep down Main Street today with my windows down.
Let me tell you something.
Blasting
That, remember that part where you were saying about today's going to be like the one of the highest rated shows ever because you got the edge on? You know what? You just fucking ruined it.
People may love this jam.
So what is the point of it? Like some nerd put those things together, or is it trying to make a point? Like she stole
the melody?
Or what?
Matt,
I think it's kind of like the Pink Floyd, like Wizard of Oz thing. Apparently,
yeah.
They just happen to go together.
Well, except I wouldn't want to smoke pot to this though.
Hold on. I can't hear a damn thing. My headphones are buzzing.
What do you need to hear?
It's the same thing as it has been for.
Someone give me headphones.
Oh, for Christ's sake!
Because I gotta control things here.
So whoever this was put together two things that I am not into into another thing.
Listen, this is important. Mashups are actually big now. They're a big deal now.
Yeah.
This is much better.
I know, because original material is not a big deal.
Yeah, my head's
anymore.
A little bigger than yours.
Yeah, a little bit. So I just think this is a great mashup. I got tons of others.
Is it just me or is all of pop culture just mashups? All entertainment, all music, everything is riding on the back of something that was already created.
Well, yeah, but I think it's been like that for
We're
a
getting
long
to
time.
Something here.
No, I think it's been like that for a long time.
It has, yes.
I just don't think we talk about it as much as we do now.
Right, but it's just that means it's just out of control, right? I mean, yes, it's been for years, yes, but... I mean, that's how you make money off of somebody already did something, say, like, I can make fun of this, I can put a soundtrack, I can do a show based on this, a one-man show based on...
Okay. Of what?
All right.
Oh, you mean original material?
Yeah.
That's all dead, Lee. Get over it.
All right.
Listen, Lee, here's what I've learned in life. You either got to move on with the times or whine about how things aren't better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to move on. I'm just going to try to, if I got to play the game, that's the game.
Okay. So this plays during the whole duration of your workout.
Yeah, it's 4 minutes and 17 seconds of
Adele
and Survivor.
Of you working out.
So it's like what would be an 8.5 minute workout if I played both songs separately. They've now condensed into 4 minutes and 17 seconds.
This is just absolutely mind-blowing to me that we're even talking about.
Why don't you like this song?
It's horrible.
It's not great.
What do you
Why
do?
Why not?
All right. You have a song that's completely overplayed and one that just got ruined by a song that's completely overplayed.
Which one's completely overplayed?
Adele.
Why do you not like Adele?
I didn't say I didn't like Adele. I said this is complete. The song's just over.
They should put that if they make another Rocky movie where he has to have a training montage. They should play that.
Should I play Edge's theme song again? Go ahead, Mike.
I'm Edge.
I don't know.
My theme song.
I like Lee's theme song for Edge.
Yeah, that's just...
Oh.
Okay. What's next, Maddie?
Okay. So anyways, any Hoosiers, whatever. You were telling me you had some stories for us.
Yes. Yeah.
Or do we want to talk about Charles's woman first?
Let's...
Bugface?
All right. So we go out Saturday night. We go downtown Saturday night. We may have to give Charles a mic for this.
I'm going to give him a mic.
He's going to have to defend himself here, I'm sure. He's going to think he has to defend himself, not that there's anything to defend.
I don't really have anything to defend.
Okay, so we go out Saturday night. Mikey arranges for us to have reservations at the Aviary. Worked out very well. Had a very nice time.
Yeah. Well, there was seemed to be some trouble before I got there, but things worked out just fine.
Yes. Well, it was a little too high class for some of our patronage.
Yeah, well, and where did they go?
We don't know, actually.
Oh, no, I'm saying.
We know we're one of them. We did have a couple friends at the site. So the Aviary, explain the Aviary, Mike.
No, it's a great
for
place.
Our listeners.
The same guy who runs
it's on Fulton Market.
Grant Graza Ashcott. I can never
it's
pronounce
it. It's Morgan
that
and
name.
Fulton Market.
Yes, yeah. It's a great place. I mean, you go over there. They've taken molecular gastronomy and tried to apply it to a liquor basis. So, you know, high-end cocktails. Drawing Room kind of had a similar idea at some point. And they're just really trying to accentuate and be different and do something else. Very nice, very good place. You got the office downstairs.
So explain like what one of the drinks is like there. What kind of weird different things
do they
do? They do
funny stuff.
How'd your old fashioned come, for instance?
Here they have one that's called In the Rocks. It's an actual drink sealed inside an ice cube, and you snap it and crack it. They're good. It's a bourbon drink. I enjoy. And they have one. They try to invigorate the senses like they do at restaurants like Alinea and higher end stuff, where they have a drink that it literally comes in a big. It comes in a big actual like a big bag full of a gas that has a scent to it. So it's just about it tantalizes the senses. It's a neat place though. It's a good spot.
Okay. So and they also have the small bites you can get there.
Now you happen to be fortunate enough to stick around long enough to try some of the bites.
Yes.
The brioche bite.
Yes, it paid off my patience.
Yes.
The brioche was fantastic. The wagyu I did not try, but
the
it looked great.
The wagyu was wonderful.
The passion fruit with the vanilla cream on the cracker, mm-hmm. fantastic. I love how we went from talking wrestling to passion fruit with vanilla cream on a cracker. But
no, it was great. It was great. It was a good spot.
Well, it's just funny going, not just food, but going from wrestling to molecular gastronomy. But so, yeah, it was a good spot. We had a good time. They got amazing drinks there, so I'm told.
Yeah.
And we leave, and then we went to the pump room.
Stopped at the pump room for a little bit.
Which is off of State and Goat.
Yeah, good little place. Billy Deck helped decorate the inside. And, you know,
yeah.
good spot. Classy joint at the public house, you know.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it, but I didn't.
It was now, was that your first time there?
At the new one, yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful people. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Overcrowded. There's not a lot of room in that place.
I wouldn't say it was overcrowded. I mean, it was probably as crowded as I'd like to see.
It would have been overcrowded to you if we didn't have bar stools. We were lucky enough that you had seats at the bar.
Yeah, well.
If we were standing like every other Jamoke there, no.
Touche, maybe you're
yeah.
right.
Yeah, and then we went to that private birthday party.
Yeah, which was nice.
With your lady friend, and it was nice. It was nice. Are you texting her now? During my fucking show?
There's no texting.
I heard your phone. Fucking vibe.
I didn't send a text. I received a text. I've received like 5 texts since this fucking show started.
Don't look at him.
So anyways, we go to the pump room. That was all right. So then we went to Richards like we usually do.
And I met you guys at Richards.
You called me up. You said, let's go to Richards. Lenny shows up. Who else was there?
After party at Lumen that was okay.
Oh, Uncle Jimmy was there. Okay, so everyone was there. Yeah, you went to Lumen. By the way,
yes.
Mikey, or was it maybe Lenny and I talked about this yesterday? Lenny and I noticed something about you, Charles.
Yes.
Are we like your dirty little secret? Me and Mikey and Lenny? We didn't get invited to No Lumen.
Because it was an after party. I went to a charity event, and the after party was, you got into Lumen for free.
Uh-huh. We weren't invited to the pre-party. Or the party party.
It cost $70. Oh, wait, no, I take that back. I paid $50.
So, Lenny and I, we were talking about this yesterday over some dim sum, our romantic weekly dim sum.
It was a charity event for, like, Surge Clean Water. It was $50.
Okay, calm down. We don't get invited to any of these places you go to, Charles.
No, none of my high-class places.
You know, hold on.
None of my high-class places?
All right. First off, you and Lenny have no business going to Lumen to begin with.
Why not?
Okay?
Yeah.
You guys walk in and go, look at this place. Len, look at this over here. Look at this place.
I got to wait that line at the bar. I'm leaving.
Yeah, it would just wouldn't work out well.
Okay, Gobbert, we didn't even get invited so we can turn it down. Okay? We never said we're going to go. We just want to shoot you down. And you don't even give us that opportunity.
There's no
asshole.
Next time I go somewhere fancy, I'll invite you.
It's not even that fancy. It's Lumen.
We're just saying every time he goes somewhere, we don't get an invite.
What were you doing there anyhow?
Oh, my God, I went to a charity event, and the after party was at Lumen, so we got in for free. So the people we were with are like, hey, let's go to Lumen for a while. Okay, we went to Lumen, and then everybody we were with were like, oh, my God, it's loud in here. We're leaving, and me and my buddy Mike were there, and he's like, I don't really want to stay. And I'm like, yeah, me either.
All right. Good story.
You asked, dumbass, so I told you. Mother.
By the way, for the people listening, I know we're having some scratchy audio because of Blog Talk. Blog Talk, of course, we've talked about this a million times.
They're wonderful.
Yeah, they're wonderful. They're wonderful. But I am recording it. You will hear a clean version tomorrow. So if you cut out now and you want to listen to the rest tomorrow, I don't blame you.
Okay.
But we will have it on iTunes tomorrow. So anyways, back to Charles here. So we don't get invited nowhere, first of all. But, okay, I'll look past that. I'll save that conversation for when Lenny's here sometime. But, okay, so we go to Richards. Mikey shows up. Everyone's there. We're bullshitting. We're having our usual good time there, smoking a pack,
sitting at
having
our table.
Some drinks. Yeah, I'm club sodaing the shit out of that place.
Oh, yeah.
And
I was drinking Jack Daniels and Miller Lite. I was alternating. It was very weird.
Charles was actually with someone for once, your buddy Mike.
Yes, my buddy Mike.
Usually Charles is pussy hunting on his own, which, by the way, Lenny and I also find a little weird.
I don't go pussy hunting on my own.
Oh, you just don't invite us to that either.
No, I don't invite it. You got well, Matt, you are an awful wingman.
Wow. Oh, okay. Well, that's what we're getting to, Pally.
Well, yeah. Why don't you get to the whole point of view, this long, drawn-out story.
The meat and bones of this.
So Mikey can talk about himself more. Hurry up.
The
we have to get the
bone,
useful stuff up.
The meat and bones of this, pal.
I will say this. I think you're a good wingman. I'm
Thank
not going to begrudge
you.
I'm not going to go up your butt. There's enough people up there already. But you are a good wingman.
Yeah, we are not leasing at the moment up my butt. listen, pal.
Yes.
I hooked you up this weekend. Are you going to deny it? Are you going to deny it? Who got that girl to come over to our table in the first place?
Okay, I was talking to her
No. Who talked to her when she walked in the door? Her and her friends.
Oh, yeah. you mean
screaming, hey, oh, sweetheart, where you going? Where you going?
And who made that happen? Who made it happen?
No.
Good move, Maddie.
What do you mean no?
No.
I went to
the
bar.
I told her, go buy a drink and come on back and hang out. And she did.
No, because you goofball, before she came back, I was at the bar talking to her.
After I hooked you up.
No.
She saw you with me.
She said, no, because you know, I even said that. I was with my friends who yelled, and she's like, oh, I didn't
even
notice.
Right, she came over. What she did, actually, she came over and she said, hi, are you Chuck? Yeah. Who's your buddy Matt over there?
Yeah, she knew my name, but not who the fuck I was.
Yeah, right.
I was my buddy, or my, okay. Mike was like, let's go to the bar, so I went to the bar.
All right,
and she
so you talked to her for a while, whatever.
Bar,
yes. But here's where I come through yet again in spades,
oh,
and
yeah.
I've gotten no credit for.
Yeah.
At the end of the night,
yeah.
Mikey goes on a little rendezvous. I got to talk to him, you know, later or whatever. I got to wait for him like 20 minutes.
I had to go get my jacket.
Yeah, whatever. So, anyways, he goes and gets his jacket.
Yes.
You're at the bar with this dog-faced gremlin. I mean, God bless. She has a nice body. She has a nice
body. She actually just texted me.
She has a nice body.
Well, let's hope she doesn't listen to
this
show.
She looks like Frank in Men in Black. Okay? And I mean the little pug. So here's the deal. No, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Four in the face.
Yeah.
Pug bodies aren't that great, though.
Yeah.
But anyways, okay. So anyways.
In my defense, it was Richard's.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
And I was drinking.
By the way, she goes up like 2 or 3 points for being at Richard's. Because the tail at Richard's isn't always the most.
Well, not only was she at Richard's, but she didn't leave right away either.
No. So at the end of the night, he's there talking to her. I'm noticing Chuck is being like, talky but boring. I could just tell Chucky was being a bore. You were being a bore. So I stepped in.
Did you start with your...
Because Matt has now has ESP. And
right. Yeah, Matt's
realize.
Got ESP. Came over with his nature boy going on and just... Woo!
You wanted me to get into what you were doing?
I didn't do it. Well, yeah, go
Chucky,
ahead. What was
you,
I doing?
Why don't you let us know?
So listen
point,
to how good of a wingman
we
I
go
am.
Outside and I'm talking to her.
No, before outside. We go outside. In the bar when I'm still hooking you two up. Before we walk
oh,
outside.
Oh, okay.
I was really making the match.
No, you know what?
I don't remember that.
Well, in the bar, I was walking up to her and I'm like, so remember I flipped the coin? Who was she going home with? You or Mike? I told her she was going home with him or his buddy Mike. And I pulled the coin out of my pocket, and I go, heads Chuck, tails Mike.
Which one was your buddy Mike? Was he the one with the thick glasses?
No.
No.
No, thin guy. So anyway,
very
I
thin guy.
Flipped,
he always wears black. He had a hat
flipped
on.
The fucking coin, yeah. And it landed on Mike. It landed on Mike. So I'm like, oh, Chucky, all's fair in loving coins. So he lost. But she didn't go home with Mike. So continue. What happened outside?
We were talking outside, and as we're talking, Matt comes wandering over right in our faces and goes, you going to get a phone number? And I'm like, Matt,
so far, so good.
Matt, Chucky, why ain't you getting a phone number? Take your cell phone out, get a phone number. And
now,
like,
was your buddy Mike still standing there at this point, too?
I don't know where the hell Mike was.
Yeah. By the way, Detroit has beaten Kansas City 5-4. So the Sox got one night. So continue.
So basically that was it. As I was trying to talk to her and get her phone number, you're in my face going, why ain't you getting a phone number? Go over there. What are you doing? Get a phone number. Why ain't you getting her phone number, Chucky? Put your phone number in her phone. Put her number in your phone. I got to do everything for you. She can obviously hear you because you're right in front of us.
Let me ask you a question. So what did she have to say up to all this?
I don't remember. She was just laughing.
Well, all I got to say is, you know what, Maddie?
The sound guy is making barking noises.
This stuff sounds like a great wingman to me. I don't know.
Thank you.
I did a really good job. See, here's the key to wingman. Here's the key to wingman. Here's why I'm mad, Chuck. You won't give me no credit.
But what did I have to do? I had to slap you in the balls to get you to leave me alone so I could pull her away and get her phone number, and I did, and then she kissed me.
Okay. Listen, though. This is why I'm mad I don't get any credit. I purposely act like a bigger asshole than I am, of course. So, that oh, boy. You're getting yelled at now. You're getting yelled at now, pal. That was Charles. There's sleeping babies in this house. So anyways, I did better than... Listen, I act like a huge asshole, and Mikey knows this works. It's worked for Mikey. I act like the huge asshole. Mikey looks like the normal guy, the guy that's not a nut
that's
job.
That's not how you wing for someone.
What do you mean that's not how you wing for someone?
You're supposed to basically help them, not act like an idiot.
Your girlfriend loved it. You know what she told me?
What? I don't have headphones on, you idiot.
And I said, thank you, sweetheart.
Matt, I don't have headphones on. I can't hear that.
Wow. Wow. There was just some dogs barking for you, Chucky.
So listen.
Someone's just jealous because I have a potential of getting laid, and he's going to masturbate like he has for the last 3 years.
Well, where are you helping me out? Where's your wingman? Where's you helping me?
If you ever have the balls to go up and approach a girl when we're out, I'll help you.
Oh, time out. Time out. I asked that one broad that was over at Emmett's. Remember, she came in for a drink. I asked her to come sleep with me. Immediately when she walked in the door.
I go, sweetheart,
it's your lucky night. You're coming home with me. Len was there.
Yeah, and you know what? She didn't go home with you. I don't know why.
Maddie,
if you say that to me with enough attitude, I'd probably go home with you.
I thought it was... She stuck around Richards for a few minutes talking to Len and I, though.
You remember that girl that came by and wrote us that read us that poem at Richards?
Yes.
Yeah.
Maud, or whatever her name was.
I don't remember, yeah. Smokes and whatever, drinks and yeah.
So anyways, Charles, I didn't see you there helping me at that moment.
Because I was talking to the other chick.
Oh, you were just working on yourself when I took time out of my evening to help you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that opens up.
All right, if you ever talk to a woman without yelling, hey, I think that went well when she walks away. That's your idea of hitting on a woman. Girl walks into a bar, hey, looks at me after she walks away.
That went well.
It's good. You think so? Yes, Costanza. She liked you.
Okay. You know what the worst part is, Maddie?
I'm right.
The worst part is he's going to get laid, and I'm going to get no credit from that.
Well, yeah, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
What do you mean?
Thank you, Mikey.
Hey, sometimes I get broads to come on over. One out of every, like, 20 of those.
Well, you know what Maddie's problem is that none of them going to Richards are under 21, so.
Ooh. All right, changing topics. Listen, I happen to like my women in the prime of their careers.
So,
okay?
in a somewhat weird,
or prime
twisted,
numbers.
No, I'm just
strange
kidding.
Kind of way, you helped me get a phone number from a girl that you think is a dog, so...
I don't think
Thanks.
She's a dog. She just kind of had a face with the bug eyes and the.
It was. Like I'm the one that said it.
It was.
I called
small
it.
Face with. See, Mikey's taking credit for it.
No,
what
I called it.
Me for. Mikey said she's the dog.
I go. She was cute, and you go. Yeah.
Oh, you tried it.
I go. Yeah. She kind of looks like a little pug dog or something.
I see.
They're cute, you know.
See, and he said cute, pug dog, not like an ugly pug dog.
No, not an ugly pug dog.
You just may have
You're
to...
You're barely a good man.
Charles, you just may have to watch out with pugs. With pugs, you know, if you sleep with her, you may have to check inside her cheeks for, like, food and stuff. clean her every week.
Well, we can relax. She's not a...
Did you fuck her yet?
No.
No, not yet?
No.
This weekend? Bring her to Richards Friday or Saturday. Bring her to Richards Friday or Saturday. I'll seal the deal.
Oh, okay.
I will lock it up.
Bring a biscuit.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a condom, and I'm going to put it over her face, and that'll send the message. Well, I'll poke a hole in it.
All right.
If she already didn't poke holes in hers.
A condom over her head.
What if she pokes holes in your condom when you fuck her?
You'd have a litter. That's
Adam. Adam said he'd have a litter.
Pound guy
good.
Adam is on a roll.
That's pretty good.
All right.
Oh,
Chucky, it's all right. You're doing good, buddy.
Daryl, he's not going to have anything happen
Mikey, are you writing on Facebook while we have a show going on?
No, why?
Why did my feed just say, oh, it says, well, what does it say? 4 hours ago. Never mind. My feed's not updated.
Apparently
not. It keeps popping your stuff up. I'm like, what's he doing?
Well, it's just because it's thinking about me.
Oh, very interesting. Ouch.
I have that problem every time I log on to Facebook. It puts up all your nonsense.
Yeah. My nonsense?
Yeah.
I put up great shit on Facebook.
Should we...
You want to hear some of the great shit up on Facebook?
Oh, Jesus.
Let's see. I'm done using Yelp and the internet to find me food. Just going to do it like the old days. Drive by and try. Yelp is for assholes, judging by the whiners on there.
Did you see what I posted?
Yes, that you're one of those assholes.
Yep.
Yes.
Love Yelp.
Yeah, yeah.
You do love Yelp. I reported on Facebook when I was getting a lube job today.
You did?
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah, well. And,
getting the rear end greased?
I was posting about how much I love the film Adaptation, and I think it's Charlie Kaufman's best work.
All right. That's pretty fantastic.
I posted about Kate Kelton. I posted about how I want to see this movie that I don't know the title of. Pitch Perfect.
You know, Matt, you better calm down over there. You're getting me too excited. Okay? I mean, really? Just
I
take
posted
it down
a mashup of Tweet versus the Black Crows where Tweet talks about masturbating.
Okay.
I have an interesting Facebook.
Anyway, so, yeah. Hey. All I got to say is next question.
Okay. Oh, well, how about this one?
Oh, Jesus.
This was a great post on Facebook, and this is good for the show here.
Okay.
8 reasons premarital boning is good for both you and society. Now, my only argument with this post was there's really, yes, they put 8 reasons, but it's really like you can condense them all into 2 reasons.
Okay.
People who have sex are happier.
True.
Fact.
Okay.
Having sex once a week is the happiness equivalent of an extra $50,000 in the bank. I don't know about that.
It releases endorphins in the body that make you happier.
Yeah,
I can agree with that.
I don't know about $50,000
out
of the bank. Oh, but it does say, especially if you're having sex with a rich dude. See, this is why I'm telling you should read what women write, Mikey.
Are you reading the fucking lesbian okay. blog?
Yes. This is from the lesbian blog?
Yes, I prescribe to the lesbian blog.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
This is from Jezebel, the hardcore lesbian blog?
Get the backstory.
Yes.
Earlier we were talking about the Neil Strauss book, The Game, and the thing is, men... In order to find out what about women, we need to not read stuff written by us. We need to read stuff written by them.
Bingo.
Yeah, but a lesbian kind of, that's a gray area.
In the same,
okay,
in the same way that Sun Tzu believed in learning about your enemy instead of
okay.
knowing your own army.
Right.
Makes a good point.
Right.
Number 7, sex is healthy and natural.
Okay.
I don't even have to read that. We know that.
Yeah.
6, premarital sex leads to more stable marriages.
Okay.
A society that encourages women to prioritize participation outside of the home leads to more women choosing to go to college to build a stable career before they focus on partnering up and settling down.
Is that true, though? Look at the divorce rate. How many of those people are having premarital sex?
A lot.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Not
that
a lot of them are having other marital sex as well.
Wow.
5, sex feels great and is fun. Well, this kind of goes back to sex is healthy and natural.
Yeah,
people who have sex are happier.
That's kind of a, yeah.
But it does feel great and is...
Aren't those the lyrics to a George Michael song?
It sounds pretty rhetorical so far.
Yeah, right.
4, a wedding isn't a magic spell that transforms sex from something that is bad to something that can't ever be bad.
And that song's on the Beverly Hills 2 soundtrack.
Hold on. That last one's retarded.
Well, what they're saying is sex is good whether you're married or not. And certainly
obviously.
Folks who wait until marriage can have a lot of sex once they tie the knot. But waiting until marriage often means both early marriage and conservative views on marriage and gender, and people who marry early and or traditional views on marriage and gender to have higher divorce rates and unhappier marriage. I kind of believe that. If you don't have sex before you get married, I think that would lead to higher divorce rates.
Because then when you do get
marriages.
Married and go, oh, my God, it's a dead fish.
Yeah.
What did I just do?
Yeah, well, you don't know what's good.
You know what, though?
You need to play the field.
The only way I can see that working is in a perfect world, if nobody had sex until they were married, then you wouldn't know what sex was until you got married.
Mikey.
In
an alternate perfect world
exactly,
where everybody had sex all the time and there was no such thing as marriage, the way as I see it.
Let me put it in a way Mikey understands here. You go to Baskin Robbins and they got 32 flavors.
I understand how it fucking
you
works.
You eat chocolate.
31 flavors. 32
oh, sorry,
is an Alana Davis album.
You eat chocolate and you're like, I want a Mary chocolate, but you haven't tried the other 30 flavors. You don't know. Pistachio could be better.
Mint chocolate chip.
Mint chocolate.
That's my favorite.
You may like a little.
Let me explain.
You may like
to
a
you.
Little mint in your chocolate.
31 flavors. I go right to the baseball nut every time. I know what I like, and I'm happy.
What's
with
the
it.
Baseball nut?
They. It's like a.
There's ribbons of things.
No,
that looks
yes,
like
well,
like.
No,
what
no, it I'm, is, I'm legitimately interested.
It's a vanilla based ice cream with raspberries and white coral.
Wow, because
rose
it
swirl.
Looks like a baseball.
Right. And it's got nuts in it. It's very tasty. It's a good one.
And with sex, I go right to the baseball nut. I understand that, yes, your analogy being vanilla, which is the way a lot of people, and this thing is talking about more conservative, traditional views of sex, mm-hmm. are held, is vanilla, which is the way most people do it, which is sober, missionary, single partner with the lights on for reproductive purposes.
Yep.
Dawn.
I agree. Anal beads, Chuck. Anal beads, Chuck.
Alex, I hate you.
Chuck's not vanilla. Chuck tries all the flavors.
I do. I
Chuck
try them all.
Chuck even tries the gum on the floor in the store, okay?
Sometimes I go wild and I go frozen yogurt, man.
Well,
I don't
care.
Well,
let me tell you. When we went to the Hustler store in Hollywood.
Yeah.
The look on Len's face was priceless.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my God.
I thought he was in heaven.
And then I take I take the picture of that sign that says browsing is limited to 30 minutes or whatever. Yeah. You know, funny the fact they even have the sign. And Len turned to us, you got to delete that picture. I can't be in here in a picture. And he starts
because
like,
he was on
up.
A work trip.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay, 3, Americans are pleasure starved. This goes back to sex is good, sex is great, blah, blah, blah. Focusing too much on the guilt we're supposed to feel about being dirty for wanting things that we naturally want is giving all of us a complex. It is making our lives worse. No. But I will give Jezebel this. They do put down religion on every other article on the site.
Oh.
There's no religion loving on the Jezebel.
Apparently not.
Not everyone is sexually compatible, so figure that shit out before you walk down the aisle.
That's true.
And 1, discouraging people from having premarital sex has never, any point in human history, succeeded in getting people to actually stop having sex. So that's true. What am I looking at there? Where am I? I'll search it. Oy vey. All right. Mikey wants me to search, and this is a good story.
No, this is a good one. I thought it was good.
Because I just think it's fucking ridiculous. On Salon today, they have a story, which is, if you've ever been to salon.com, it's not a big woman site. Don't worry. It's politics and entertainment and blah, 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 whatever. So anyways, the headline is Cleavage's Coming Out Party.
With a nice picture of Christina Hendricks popping out of her dress.
Right. The large breasts on displays at the Emmys challenge viewers to toss out preconceptions about their impropriety. Okay. First of all, as we've stated.
First of all, when were
Mikey,
the Emmys?
When were the Emmys? On the Matthew Aaron Show, I didn't even know until I got home that night. Yeah.
The question that I have
Mikey's
is...
Mikey's not hearing himself enough.
As most guys would
Mikey say. Still doesn't understand how the soundboard and microphone system works. Mikey doesn't need to hear himself. It's going through just fine. You see these green lights?
I like hearing myself.
Yes, he likes hearing himself. Continue, Mikey.
No, I was going to say, when did it go out of style?
It didn't go out of style.
Okay.
Look, men love cleavage. Men love boobs. Men love small boobs. Men love large boobs. Men love medium boobs. There is no fashion for boobs. It's true. There's no fashion for boobs. So any woman that reads this article thinking, oh, my God, I don't have cleavage and cleavage is in, we're still going to fuck you. It's okay. You just may have to lower your standards to someone like Charles.
Sorry, Charles.
Wow. Richard.
Richard. Ah.
Hey, if they're drunk enough, I'll take them.
You'll take Christina Hendricks. Have you seen how ugly Christina Hendricks' husband is?
No.
Really?
Oh, I've never showed you Christina Hendricks' husband?
No. Okay. I thought you were about to say how ugly Christina Hendricks is, and I was like, what is wrong with
you? Oh, no. She's dropped it. Gorgeous. Okay. Here is Christina Hendricks' husband.
Jeff Goldblum, but more retarded? Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
he has a really large Jew cock.
He was really good in Slumdog Millionaire.
You know,
I mean, holy guacamole. So I feel like if he can score her, I can't do that much worse. That's why hold out for the nines and the tens. It can happen. Oh, yes, I have to look up that one as well.
Yeah, we got a couple stories on the HuffPost.
Yes. But I don't even know what that guy's done. He wrote 500 Days of Summer or something?
Who knows? Maybe they just got along real well. I don't know.
Really? You're going to defend that?
Maybe
no,
they have
he
sexual
actually, he
chemistry.
Does, he looks like, I mean, he really does look like, really like over. He looks like a ratty Jeff Goldblum. You're absolutely right. Actually, to be honest with you, hold on, Lee, wait, hold on. Put Adam's glasses on real quickly.
Oh no.
Yeah,
you could do a good impression of him. Who knows? Maybe you can like knock him out while she's sleeping, sneak him out, and sneak yourself in, and be like, oh. Hi, Christina. Let's fuck.
For Christina Hendricks, I would totally risk that, yes.
That's good. Where is that on the Huffington Post?
Under Gay Voices. You want me to just read this?
Gay story? Voices? Yeah. You're going to make me go... Oh, Jesus.
Here, it's right here on my phone.
Mikey, can I ask you a better question?
What's
what are you doing going to Gay Voices on Huffington Post?
It was a...
may want to clear this up for our audience.
It was a Matthew Aaron Show contributor that pointed me in the right direction.
I never thought in a million
years... Most of us are here. Who would that other person be?
Was it Lenny?
It's either Lenny or Pat or Caesar. Which one of them three sent you the link?
Would any of them surprise you?
No.
Well, Lenny seems to be here, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I sent them the link to the gay thing.
Now, there's a couple. There's one about the balls, too.
I read Gay Voices every day.
I never missed it. I went to that Bijou Theater Lee was talking about that he's never been
all right,
to.
All right.
I mean, he really has never been there.
All right. There's a billionaire tycoon who's pledging millions to any man who can woo his lesbian daughter. A Hong Kong billionaire has offered up a staggering, if bizarre, marriage bounty to any man who can woo his married lesbian daughter.
I like that in Hong Kong they actually live shitty romantic comedy plots.
Cecil Chow Sejuan, and you know they're going to make this into a movie. You know they'll make this into a movie.
100%.
Cecil Chow Sejuan publicly announced the $65 million reward after hearing that Gigi Chow had eloped with her long-term female partner to France. Deeming reports of his daughter's same-sex wedding false, Chow told the South China Morning Press, "I don't mind whether he is rich or poor. The important thing is that he is generous and kind-hearted, and he has a dick that can please my daughter." I may have added that.
Yeah, you may have added.
In addition to the dowry, Chow is also pledged to help the successful suitor launch his own business. He called the prize money an inducement to attract someone who has the talent, but not the capital to start his own business. Whether or not Chow, who owns Chuck Nung Limited, is truly qualified to give marriage advice to anyone is questionable given his apparent playboy reputation. The 76-year-old tycoon, who has never been married, is said to have once bragged about sleeping with 10,000 women. Nonetheless, he continued his plea by describing his daughter as a very good woman with both talents and looks. She is devoted to her parents, obviously not that devoted that she's marrying her
lesbian
lover.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, it's strange that she should prefer women considering you know, what
a
wonderful role
a
model she has.
She's 33 years old, if anyone's interested, and graduated from the University of Manchester. And
she now works
as the director at her father's company. She's been in a 7-year-long relationship with her new wife, though. 7 years, that's going to be hard to crack, guys. Okay, so I want to know from Lee, Charles, and Terzo, what would your plan be to woo this woman for $65 million? Yes, Alex, you can contribute as well.
I would promise that after I got the money, I would kill her father.
That could work. She probably hates him, doesn't she?
Yeah. I would go to a special effects makeup person and have them give me some boobs and pretend I was a dyke. And then at the last second, I would be like, got a penis, huh? Rip out the fake boobs after I broke them two up and had her fall in love with
me. Yeah, but you still have to be a better looking.
Yeah, but and then I would go to Dean Simmons lesbian. And be like, give me the fucking money.
You still have to be a better looking lesbian than her wife.
Time out, time out. You're missing the point.
You don't think I could do Butch?
Charles, you got to woo her. So it's not like, hey, I fucked your daughter and she didn't realize that I was a dude. Can I get the money now?
No, I would use the makeup and I would live the lifestyle as like a...
He would be Tootsie.
I would be Tootsie or Mrs. Doubtfire until I broke a wedge between them two, fell in love with her.
Boy,
and
this is turning into
her.
A Hollywood movie.
And then I would rip off the fake boobs and be like, I'm a man.
This
and then she would fall in love.
Charles should run a studio in Hollywood because he just took one ridiculous romance plot
and
from
it into
the Huffington Post. And now he added cross dressing
and living an elaborate lie.
Eddie Murphy signed up for this movie 2 seconds ago.
Actually, you know,
I don't know what's funnier, combining cross dressing with this ridiculous proposal or Chuck living an elaborate double life as
or
a woman.
Or being straight and having sex with a woman, but dressed like a woman to think she's having sex with a woman.
So, yeah,
like a lesbian straight sex.
The only people that can do this movie right are the French, by the way.
Boy.
Gene Reno will be
there. Yeah, Jean Reno is the cross-dressing.
I see Big Mama's House 4.
So, Mikey, what is your plan to woo Miss Chow?
God, I don't know. That's a great question.
You would want the $65
million. Yeah, I mean...
And what would you do with the $65 million? But what would you do to woo her first?
Buy her some dim sum.
Yeah. Be like, hey, come with me to Ming Hen. They got great pork roll.
Yeah,
buy her a dog or something, and
you know,
then dinner's ready.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not really big into the yellow fever thing, you know what I mean? But I will tell you this.
Yeah, I hate malaria. No, you know what? I feel like you would take the approach like you would just really try to be a charming, kind guy and really try to restore her faith.
I don't. On the date, yes. When he text messages her at night and he goes, so, honey, I'm going to fucking pound you one way or the fucking other. I mean, how do you want to do this? How do you want to do this?
I'll give you half the money. Just fucking relax.
I was talking about it on this show.
Oh, Skrull.
Oh, calm down.
She hears about it on the show. The deal's over.
You wouldn't call her Skrull in front of the old man?
No, I don't think so. I'll be rolling around just slapping around the ass in front of her dad once in a while. I'll be like, see, I'm trying for you, huh?
My little egg noodle.
Yeah, right. The rice patty fever, here we come.
Oh, man. Okay.
You know, and she is Asian, so you may be able to fit you and her in your car.
No.
No? No banging in the Turzo-mobile.
No. You know,
listen,
I'm
get used to karaoke and all those other things.
God, you know, I actually...
Alex, are you going to tell me how you're going to woo this woman? Oh, now you don't want to contribute. Mr. And now he doesn't want to contribute.
He's like, welcome back, Connor.
Trust me, I got a plan for Alex.
I'm
going
to take her to Medina. I'm going to introduce her to George Lopez.
They got three courses.
Oh, but it was okay to make fun of me and
you know,
Richard?
We got a special way. It's okay, Alex. I just because I know you want to outlive all of us, there's a special technique from the agent that might just work for you.
What technique is that?
Why is this going to be the most evil thing any of us
Yes. Why don't you do that story?
Well,
what would you do?
Okay,
wait. What would you do to woo this woman?
Yeah, Maddie,
what would you do?
I'm gonna lose a lot of my lady listeners here with this.
Okay.
But my plan is I'd go to her father. I'm going to arrange a deal first. We're going to conspire together to get her to get out of this mess.
So far, I'm liking this.
Yeah, I mean, it could involve money if she can't be bought for her lesbian love, her straight love. We'll have to come up with other methods. But basically, I would tell her father the first thing he needs to do is fire her from her job. And once she's jobless and has no home and daddy's not giving her any money, she's maybe going to need the money. Maybe she's like, I could be poor and be with this other broad and get married in France and whatever. So then our next plan would be to have her mother disown her. Always go for the mother. And we'll make sure that mother disowns her good, okay?
You know what? You know, Maddie, you know what I got to
My plan's good.
Oh, I love that you've thought this out meticulously enough for it to be plausible.
Yes.
You know what, though? There's one thing you're missing. If you just, like, ate her out really good.
No. The third thing I'm going to do is I am Italian, And if a certain lesbian lover goes missing, what do I know about all that? It'll just be a good marriage for us both.
No comment.
Then I have a switch theory where I could go to her and I could be like, all right, listen to it.
The lover?
To Miss Chow.
Oh.
And I'll say, Miss Chow, here's the deal, sweetheart. Okay? We're going to get 65 mil from the old man. You pretend to marry me. You pretend you're straight. I give you half the money. You go back to your lesbian lover. I get the fuck out of here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
You fuck over your dad, which you want to do anyways.
I'll be back in America.
Money. I'll be back in America.
You could just keep a lie up a few years.
You don't even have to keep it up for a year. As soon as he gives us the fucking money, see ya.
Okay.
There's the sequel to Charles' plot.
Yeah,
right. We just wrote the sequel.
Boy. If we just think of a trilogy,
why do I feel like
Mikey or me?
I feel like Liam Nielsen's going to show up in that movie at some point.
Liam Nielsen?
Yeah.
Is that Leslie Nielsen's bastard son?
Liam Nielsen!
Liam Neeson, whatever.
Yes.
Oh.
No, I loved Liam Nielsen, Wrongfully Accused. He was fantastic.
He was great.
My favorite was Spy Hard.
Spy Hard, Leslie Nielsen, yeah.
Lee Wilson.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, read your little catchphrase.
Again, on the HuffPost, in the science section, there's a story on...
What, this isn't in Gay Voices?
No, this one's not in Gay Voices.
Okay.
This one's just for you, Luisi. Apparently, castration and life expectancy ensues lives longer than other men study shows. Okay, so basically, here. It's a life-extending strategy that most men probably won't want to pursue. But research suggests inshus live longer than non-castrated guys. Historical Korean inshus, I don't know what the fuck those are, men who had their testicles removed in order to secure high positions in the palace hierarchy, outlived their non-castrated counterparts by as much as 20 years. The study finds the results will be published tomorrow in the journal Current Biology. In animals, castration tends to lengthen lifespan, most likely because the male sex hormone aren't great for health. Testosterone is an immune system suppressor, for example, and can also increase the chance of cardiovascular disease.
Charles, you think cutting off your balls will make you live longer?
Let's see if we can get John Bobbitt on the show.
He didn't lose his balls.
Yeah, that's your wiener.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever.
So
yeah, no, you're not chopping anything off.
By the way, I just think that this is a report put out by women. I think women would like to cut off your balls, and I think they're putting out a fake report.
Well, most of them do when you say
I
do, and you put a ring on.
Okay, hold on.
Why would that pertain to you? Because Megan cut off your balls a long time ago.
In absence of cutting someone's balls off, women just marry a guy.
Right.
Right,
right.
That's
but now they want to take it a step further.
Okay.
But hold on. It just got worse. It just got worse. Hold on. Because it says, results have been mixed as to whether castration lengthens lifespan. One study on patients in a mental hospital found that it does, while another on castrated and non-castrated male singers found that it does not. Who is this? What are they doing to people in these hospitals?
I don't know.
The castrated singers are called castrati. And it's to get a young boy to sing at a higher level. It's usually for churches, and the ancient practice was to castrate
male. Yeah, no thanks.
Makes their voice that they're called castrati. They have high tenor voices. That's what they refer to when they refer to singers.
We have 15 minutes here, so I'm going to share this story. Robert,
today's lesson.
Robert Hagerman called 911 after daughter refused to buy him beer, police said. Robert Hagerman just wanted his daughter to buy him some beer, but when she refused, the Florida dad got hopping mad. Rather than get the suds for himself, Hagerman chose to call 911 and told dispatchers that his daughter was on drugs, throwing things and hitting him. When police in Seminole arrived on the scene... Oh, don't tell me this is in Florida.
Florida?
Yep. When police in Seminole arrived on the scene last Thursday, they determined Hagerman was the one who lost his head. He was reportedly under the influence and uncooperative. Hagerman's daughter was still in the house and explained to the deputies that her dad made the call because she wouldn't go buy him beer. She also played cell phone recordings of her father making false statements to the police. Yeah.
Well, she taped him on top of it.
Yeah. And they have a great, interesting little thing here where they show the other top 12 outrageous 911 calls. So let's grade these from 1 to 5 stars.
I think we've done some
all
of
right.
these before.
1 to 5 stars. What
are we
going to
take
Hagerman?
A guess on how many are from Florida?
I don't think people have any idea how many hillbillies there are in
yeah.
Florida. Oh, my God.
How many stars do you give that Hagerman call, Chuck?
Out of 1 to 10?
1 to 5.
1 to 5.
It's a 4-star phone call, I think.
No.
Asking,
no.
Come on, it's calling like, the cops over beer?
I'm
3?
It's 3.
All right, we're going with 3. I'm going to check mark 3 on it, okay? We are going with 3 for Robert Hat.
Yep, I'd like to hear this phone call.
I got 50 bucks. I got 50 bucks for the first female cop.
All right, Chucky, you're
blows.
Like sucking the mic over there. Right?
All right, Mark Walsh. Mark Walsh. And by the way, I have both phone calls for him.
Oh.
He called 911 twice to report that his dreams were becoming a reality. Would you like to listen to both calls? All right.
Yeah, Maddie, why don't we play these? If they're stupid, we'll stop them.
Well, if I can, if they work, hold on.
Okay.
We're going to hear advertisement before this somehow.
911, where is the emergency?
Hello, I'm going to have somebody come in Orange City. Yeah.
What's going on?
Something that happened in my dream, and it's actually happening.
Okay, what's happening?
If that's it. Everything that happened today is actually in my dream, and I want to prove to everybody.
Okay, what's your name? Okay, so what did you dream about that's happening?
It's all on paper. I wrote it down.
Okay, we'll get someone out there
everything.
To you.
Huh?
I'll get somebody out there to you.
Thanks so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Here's the second one.
I hope it's better.
911, where's your emergency?
Okay, watch.
911, where is your emergency?
Hello, I called earlier. I'm in Orange City.
What's your address?
Orange City.
And what's the emergency?
The officer told me not to call back, and he said if I call back, then y'all are going to take me to court,
uh-huh.
So I'm calling back.
Did you want
to prove something.
Because you want to go to jail?
Is this
I have to prove something to my family. So
okay, you're
can
at...
you send an officer back?
These are.
Yep.
What's
yes,
your
ma'am.
Name?
Mark.
What's your last name? Do you have any weapons on you?
No, I don't, ma'am.
And you do not have an emergency, and you're stating that on the tape line?
I don't know.
Do you have an emergency, yes or no?
No.
Okay, and you're saying that the officer told you not to call back, so you did because you're trying to prove a point, correct?
Yes, please.
Okay. What is the problem there? Because obviously there is one.
There's a problem. It's something that happened in a dream, and it's coming true. Everything. So can you just please send somebody here?
All right, this is quickly turning
okay.
into a three.
Are you, how old are you?
Well, it's lower
I'm 18.
Three.
Is there an adult there?
No, I'm a house, yeah.
No, it's someone else besides you.
Me, my mom, my dad, my brother.
Can you put one of them on the phone?
Anything. Okay.
Okay, that's a 1-star affair.
Yeah, that
what a Looney Tune.
That was better before we heard it.
That's not a fun Looney Tune either. That's just a Looney Tune. Okay, Clyde Hobbs. Clyde Hobbs was arrested in May 2012 for allegedly calling 911 at least 17 times. To talk dirty to operators. He'd been arrested several times in the past for the same crime. When cops arrived to collar him, Hobbs asked, "Are you here to arrest me again?"
I think this is at least a 4.
It's a 4. Yeah. 17 times and been arrested before.
Yeah.
But maybe a 3.
It's a 3, but him having been arrested a 4 takes it up to a 4.
Well, the line of them coming to the house and going, "Are you here to arrest me again?" makes it a 4.
At some point, you have to realize you probably shouldn't do that anymore.
Michael,
maybe after the 16th.
So here's Michael Barker. Michael Barker called 911 repeatedly in Hudson, Florida, asking them to fetch him a taxi and saying that he lost his football. Cops arrested him for allegedly misusing the emergency system on February 20th, 2012. God,
you know,
maybe he's slow, but I doubt cops would arrest him for being slow. His pictures.
You know, I mean, do you think there's? I feel like crystal meth has a lot to do with these phone calls.
That's a 2-star affair.
Yeah,
two stars, Charles.
Yeah, that's not.
He lost his football. Yeah.
Do you have any more phone calls?
Here's Everett Lodges. Everett Lodges was arrested when he allegedly called 911 after he was not allowed to bring his kitten inside a strip club. 5 stars. 5 stars.
The question was he allowed to shower in the faucet behind the strip club?
That's the first time pussy has never been allowed in a strip club.
Thank you. Someone had to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Good work.
That's funny. That was good. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's good.
Hard to beat that.
Rother McLennan. Rother McLennan of East Hartford, Connecticut, called 911 and complained that he specifically asked for little turkey and little ham, a lot of cheese, and a lot of mayonnaise, and the Grateful Deli in East Hartford got it wrong.
It's a 5.
It's pretty good. I could see Turzo calling 911 over a Mr.
He wouldn't call 911. He wouldn't do that. No, you wouldn't do that.
Right. So
local police, maybe.
Local police.
You know what these motherfuckers did over here? Let me tell you something. You need to get the fuck down here right fucking
As a food guy, Mikey, you kind of got to
like that. I said rye, not wheat.
You kind of got
to
like
so,
that.
So, hold on. So, what exactly happened again? Give me the guy's name. What was the guy's name?
Oh, hold on. I got to go back. Now.
I want to see if it's a Jewish name.
If I want a pickle, I'll ask for pickle.
Rother McLennan. It's actually Irish.
Yes.
Very Irish.
Very Irish.
Okay, so Calvin Hoover, a 21-year-old Oregonian, called 911 from his car to report his weed stolen. But it took the dispatcher a while to understand him because the allegedly drunk driver was vomiting on himself during the call. Colorado cannabis smoker James Farnsworth got what he wanted when he called 911 to report his ganja stolen. Officers arrested the alleged perp. What Farnsworth didn't expect is that the cops would search him as well, find enough weed on him to label him a dealer, and arrest him on the spot. Detroit area officer Edward Sanchez allegedly took some green he'd confiscated during an arrest he made, cooked it into a batch of brownies, and ate them with his wife. He got so blazed that he thought he was dying, according to the tape, and called 911 for the ambulance. Here is the tape.
We've heard this.
A councilman from Dearborn, Michigan
this is, great.
Is outraged over a 911 call. He wants to know why no charges have been filed against a police officer who admits to confiscating marijuana from suspects and then baking it in brownies. And once he and his wife were full and high, they thought they'd overdosed and called 911.
I think I'm having an overdose as so is my wife.
Overdose of what?
Marijuana. But I don't know if it had something in it. Can you please send rescue?
Did you guys have fever or anything?
No, I think we're dying.
Okay, how much did you guys have?
I don't know. We made brownies, and I think we're dead. Time is going by really, 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 really slow.
Well, instead of being charged, Perla,
sorry.
Instead of being charged, the police department let the officer resign. His wife was not charged either. So far, police officials have not commented on the case.
Now, how do you follow a story like that? Well, talk about switching gears. Time is going by really, really slow. Say goodbye to 39-cent postage stamps. Bye-bye. Starting
okay.
Monday.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's
pretty good.
That's a fiver.
Oh, man.
That's a 4.
John R. Pacella. Why is it a 4?
Because
Isn't it better that it's an officer, though?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, right.
I mean, I mean, just, if it was just a pothead, it wouldn't be that great.
Yeah, the call is, but the actual, yeah, all right.
But, Maddie, here's a perfect example.
But the fact the cop got caught doing shady shit by himself.
Right.
Like, he caught himself.
But to me, as ludicrous as it is, I feel like it's not even ludicrous enough. A man not being able to take a kitten into a strip club. I mean, and not a puppy, a kitten.
I know. That's
that,
pretty
to me,
bad.
The daintiness of that is what makes it
you know,
ludicrous.
John R. Pacella called 911 at 4 a.m. and told the operator he wanted to see an officer because he wanted to fight with them. When police showed up at his door, he began pushing and shoving officers. He was promptly arrested.
That's a 1.
Yeah, you kind of get what you asked for there.
That's just rednecks do that every Friday.
You know, on the Sci-Fi Channel, it's called SmackDown. I'm sorry.
Butt dials. Calling 911 by accident can make you feel like an ass, but now comes a study suggesting that nearly 40% of New York City's 911 calls were butt dials.
Wow.
Wow.
That is a lot. That's a lot
high
of,
number.
That's a lot of tax dollars going down the drain.
Christian Luckett. Christian Luckett placed 10 calls.
90 seconds.
We're going to go into overtime for people at home, and I'm going to try to find some other good police phone calls here, too. But Christian Luckett placed 10 calls to 911 to complain about his service at a Skyline Chili restaurant in Cincinnati, Ohio. Luckett was allegedly drunk when he called the police and demanded officers to his home for a domestic disturbance, but he was really just mad at Skyline Chili's. Cops arrested him at his apartment. Three?
Yeah, that's not that interesting.
Three stars?
60 seconds.
Next story.
Okay. Doyle Hardwick. Oh, he looks like it's going to be a good one. Doyle Hardwick is now behind bars after calling 911 complaining that his wife would not let him check Facebook in peace. Five stars. That's
wow.
Good. Facebook-related arrest.
That's okay.
You don't like it so much?
You're a bigger Facebook nut than I am. That's entertaining.
But I think it says more about real Facebook nut.
You know what I'd like to know? How old was this person?
He's old. He's like 60.
All right,
Adam, how old do you think he is?
Oh, yeah, no. All right,
five
that
stars.
Just went up to a four for me. That's pretty good. Yeah, look at him.
All right.
Well, so that's Lenny in a couple of years?
We went four stars on that.
No, he wouldn't be married.
10 seconds.
Oh, I forgot. You can't put a hyphen in 911 anymore because then it comes up 911.
Oh, is that what happens?
10 dumbest 911 calls. Let's
you're
see
really
the
enjoying
audio
this.
For these.
That cop with the brownies has got to be on there.
He's not in the top two. Okay, the woman who called 911 to ask a police officer on a date. A woman in Aloha, Oregon, called 911 because she thought a deputy who had just visited her house on a complaint was good-looking. After her neighbors reported a noise complaint, two sheriff deputies knocked on Lorena Jean Dudash's door. One of them caught her eye. When they left, Dudash dialed 911 in a desperate attempt to get the deputy she described to dispatchers as a cutie pie to return. She said that she didn't have an emergency. She just wanted the dispatcher to throw the cute police back her way. The cute deputy returned, and once he determined there was no legitimate emergency, he arrested Dudash for misusing 911.
That just sounds sad and desperate.
Yeah, why don't we let's just go to the next one. That was stupid.
The woman who called 911 after getting locked inside her own car. Well, this is typical women here.
This sounds like something Homer Simpson would do.
A Florida woman called 911.
Here we go.
Because she was locked inside her car. Turns out all she needed to do was manually pull up the lock on the door. The unidentified woman was parked at Walgreens store in Kissimmee. My car will not start. I'm locked inside my car, the unidentified woman said. Nothing electrical works, and it's getting very hot in here, and I'm not feeling well. The dispatcher then suggested pulling up the lock. The woman tried it and was successfully able to open the door.
All right, next story. Come on.
Oh, come on. That's pretty good.
I mean, this girl is dumb, stupid, batshit crazy. I mean, this is...
Charles, you've dated bad. You've dated just as bad.
I think I know her.
Man, Charles would be the pussy king of Florida. You would be top of the heap.
I wasn't aware that Charles was in the girls over 60.
The lonely man who called 911. I'm not even going to say the number. You'll read about it here. John Triplett, a 45-year-old unemployed man, was charged for abusing the 911 emergency line. He made over how many phone calls to 911?
32.
400.
100.
27,000 calls to 911. Police said he was a lonely man who would call the dispatchers for company, sometimes hundreds of times a day. He would also make various noises, including grunts and other bodily noises.
Grunts.
Minimal conversation.
Like Tim Allen?
Yeah. Minimal conversation in a disguised voice, beeps from his touchpad, etc. 27,000.
How did he not get arrested after 27?
He did. He faces $1,000 fine and/or 6 months in jail.
Man.
27,000.
So for wasting our taxpayers' money,
hold on,
and holding up the lines, he has to pay a grand.
Do you think they should have like stopped this after like the 1,000th call?
You would think.
Or
This one's great. I am just going to play this one. This one's one of my favorites ever. I'm well aware about this. And by the way, this is in Florida. Oh, the video is no longer available. So I'll read it to you. Angered that her local McDonald's was out of chicken McNuggets,
oh, yeah.
A Florida woman called 911 three times to report the fast food emergency. Latresa Goodman, 27, called police to complain that a cashier would not give her a refund. When cops responded to the restaurant, Goodman told them, "This is an emergency. If I had known they didn't have McNuggets, I wouldn't have given my money, and now she wants to give me a McDouble, but I don't want one." She was arrested, and the police pressed charges for misusing the 911 system. A lot of food anger. Noticing a trend here?
Yeah, what is this?
People get angry over their food, man.
Apparently it's important.
I thought we cared a lot about food.
We have this outlet to talk about it, though.
Let's be realistic. These people are retarded.
Yeah. Here's a good one. A frustrated German housewife called police because her husband would not stop watching porn movies. The 44-year-old woman from Aachen dialed the emergency police number and told the dispatcher in a weepy voice there was an emergency. When officers arrived at the scene, they found her pacing the apartment while her husband, 46, sat in front of the TV watching a blue movie. She was told, however, that there was nothing the police could do in such a case, but referred her to a counselor for help.
Well, that was nice.
That was delightful. That sounds like could have been an episode on a sitcom.
Here's one that maybe.
That'll be how we open our movie with Chuck trying to vie for the heart of the woman. He'll be watching porn so much that his wife or girlfriend calls 911 and gets him thrown out. So then he reads in the paper about this Hong Kong thing. That'll be the start of the movie.
So
why don't we just
get right to like the top three?
A 4-year-old kid named Johnny decided to call 911 when he needed help with his math homework. Amazingly, the dispatcher actually helped him.
That's awesome.
So there you go.
That's nice.
The woman who called 911 over lack of shrimp in her fried rice. A woman called 911 to report she didn't get as much shrimp as she wanted in her fried rice at a Fort Worth area restaurant. The angry customer told the dispatcher, "To get a police officer up here, what has to happen?" The customer also said he didn't even put extra shrimp in there. The upset customer was gone when an officer arrived the next day. Restaurant workers said the woman had been denied a refund after leaving with her order, returning later a complaint. Well, of course she was gone the next day. From the restaurant.
Right.
You know what I'd like to know? What the fuck is wrong with all these people?
I don't know. Here's one. A woman called the local 911 in China after her boyfriend refused to warm up her cold feet. Police officer Zhao Deng of Ningbo received two consecutive calls, one from the woman complaining her boyfriend refused to warm her feet, the other from the man saying his girlfriend was too demanding.
How did I know this was going to be a Ningbo?
Wow.
Deng went out to the rental apartment close to Ningbo University to try to resolve the issue, but found the couple still rowing. He eventually persuaded the boyfriend that it was a man's job to warm his girlfriend's feet, but told the woman not to leave her feet there for too long. There we go, some compromise.
Okay.
That's great. The man who called 911 because he was turned away at a nightclub. A man in Beaverton, Oregon, called 911. I didn't even know they had nightclubs in Oregon.
Well, I don't think it'll be quite the nightclub that we think of.
Oh, well, yeah.
It'll probably be. Think about it. It's going to be like a shittier version of going to a nightclub at the Channel Lights.
Zero gravity.
No, not even zero gravity.
Have you ever been to Oregon?
Mikey, why are you just nodding? Like you don't want to admit you've been to Oregon on the air.
It's just.
A man in Beaverton, Oregon, called 911 when a nightclub refused to let him inside. Employees at the Caribbean nightclub in Beaverton said they didn't let Edgar Diegues Lopez inside because he was too intoxicated. So he called 911. That's not a very good one.
They didn't let him in because there's no Latinos in Oregon.
Okay. This one, the number one is really good, though.
Are we going to end on this one?
Yes.
Okay.
A Sarasota man about to be pulled over by police tried to lure officers away by making a fake 911 call. Genius. Officers were following a 28-year-old man's car to make a traffic stop when they got a 911 call for an armed robbery happening several blocks away. The man's plan seemed to work at first when the officers cut off their chase to answer the call. But then the other officers in the area followed him into a parking lot and saw a gun in his car. Officers determined that the man was a felon and not allowed to possess a firearm. After the man was arrested, officers said they discovered the bogus 911 call came from his cell phone.
That's pretty clever.
Almost got away with it.
I, you know what, so I'd like close. To know? If they cut the chase off, how did they still find him? I mean, if they cut that chase off for even 10 seconds, you should be gone.
Okay, by the way.
Because the government puts tracking devices in all new cars.
I do want to do one last top 10 for this week because this is really interesting.
Okay.
The 10 most incredible sex facts. Are you ready, gentlemen?
Sure, let's hear it. Yeah.
Let's get a little blue.
Well, you know I am.
Let's get a little blue. And I want opinions on this. I'm not just going to be reading them. I want opinions.
And are we ending it with this?
Yeah, top 10 of this. But I think this is good.
Top 10 of the night for the Matthew Aaron Show.
Alex
everybody.
Is pointing to his dick saying, here's his top 10.
Okay, yeah, that's why he's not on the air.
He wants to leave top. So
no, I'm just ready for a
snort. Now he's snorting like Urkel.
So am I. The average frequency for sex is 2 times per week.
Well, yeah.
Who's behind here other than me? Charles, Lee, Mikey. You're a faggot.
Adam.
Adam, I don't know, Adam. Now that you're, like, engaged, is it still about 2 times a week? You're all right still there. You're there until the... Wait, you're good until the ring's on the finger.
Is that when it stops?
You got another year, you think?
Yeah.
A year? Okay. What do we think? Oh, well, a Durex survey. Dirt. That's a good company. Yeah.
Good.
A Durex survey outlined that the average number of times people have sex is 103 times per year, 1.98 times per week, and 0.28 times per day. Incorporating sex in your life has benefits, including stress relief and increased, blah, blah, blah. What do we think of that?
By the way, no one would ever lie on a sex survey. You
well,
can trust
not
that
only
number.
That, but Durex.
Yeah.
So no one's going to lie on a condom sex survey. And by the way, a lot easier to sell condoms when you're talking about how much people are fucking.
Right.
Yep.
So we're thinking that
I probably masturbate more than 1.2 times a week.
Well, you know what?
That doesn't help out Durex.
No.
It could if I don't want to clean up.
You still have to clean up.
No, you just take it off and throw it out.
Well.
Use your imagination, Mikey.
Feel bad whoever's going down on Chucky. Honey, what do you mean it's not funny?
I don't want to know his name. Stop.
Yeah.
What'd you say, punk?
All right, next one.
Heavier men last longer in bed. Number two. This is absolutely true. Put down the weights and
That's
grab a hamburger.
They can't be on top or they'll kill the girl.
Put down the weights and grab a hamburger. Researchers in Turkey have finished a year-long study that correlated body mass index with male sexual performance. Their findings may surprise you. Heavier men were able to make love for an average of 7.3 minutes, while Alex Luisi's, Slender Men, lasted an average of 108 seconds. 108 seconds!
You know what, Maddie? Maddie, you know, there's not a lot of...
Overweight men had higher levels of female hormones, which blocks male hormones and delays the climax. So we're better in bed.
So this was done in Turkey, that bastion of sexual progressive... Turkey.
Well, they did a year-long
year-long study.
Midnight Express.
Hey, you've got to say this is a little
more
legit
than
the Durex survey. Okay?
All I'm going to say, Lee, just don't get upset over there.
Chucky, are you upset
that you
lost all that weight now? Now that you're down to 100.
I'm going back to Burger King as soon as I leave.
Mikey, we're feeling kind of good.
Let me tell you
Maddie,
something.
You know what?
The reason you last
and the old, hold
is
on.
Because it's harder to fuck you two. Someone's
no,
got to
no,
push
no.
your gut up to get to the dick.
Oh.
Both of you.
Someone's a little jealous over his 108.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's and Matt, you have said your favorite position is to lay there and be like, all right, sweetheart, show your words.
No. The thing's got to be much more exciting than this. All
probably goes limp midway through, and takes about 6 minutes for it to get flaccid again, and that's why it takes you 7 minutes.
Whatever happens to make it work.
You know what? All I got to
falls asleep
Jesus
and reach. All right.
Go ahead, Mikey. Go ahead.
Well, all I'm going to say is that I know the older broad.
What's going on?
I know the older broad that figured it out. That's for sure.
That's true.
I mean, how many times have they come up to you, Manny? They
true.
Know.
That's true.
I've been approached to Gibson a couple times.
They get it. Yeah. Oral sex could be a cure for morning sickness.
I keep telling Megan that.
Is she fucking pregnant?
That's Luisi, apparently you're missing the point here.
Did you just doubt Megan's pregnancy on the air? I thought she was just gaining weight. I had no idea.
Oh.
What?
So anyways, there's one academic is proposing a cure for morning sickness that some moms-to-be might find in bad taste, sperm. Gordon Gallup, a psychologist at SUNY Albany, has a theory that pregnant women who are continually exposed to the father's semen are less likely to suffer from AM nausea.
Really?
Yeah.
Shocking, we haven't cured cancer yet.
Well, you have to give a dosage every day.
You know, this is a good study.
Yeah, he specializes in human reproductive competition and behavior. He offers the theory that expectant women will become ill and vomit because their bodies are rejecting the semen's genetic material as something foreign and unfamiliar. So when you're giving them something familiar, they're not getting sick.
Hmm. What do people find sexy about pregnant women?
Yeah. You can't get them pregnant.
I mean,
I
know it's
Adam.
Like a cute, funny thing. Like, poke the baby in the head.
Time out. It's not cute and funny. I don't want to get them pregnant. That's
well,
a good
I mean,
one.
Time out.
That's good.
I'm sorry, but I have no attraction to pregnant women. I just don't.
Okay, Mikey, if a pregnant broad walked up to you and said, Mikey, I'm going to blow you.
That's a little different. I mean, Matt, let's be realistic. If Kathy Bates walked up to you and said, Maddie, I want to blow you, you're going to be like, all right, you're a woman.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
I like Harry's Lock. Go ahead.
I mean, there's just no, I mean, come on.
Sex cures headaches. Number four.
Very nice.
If you think
I have heard this is medically true.
If you think sex can't be had due to a headache, how wrong you are. At least according to headache specialist Dr. Vincent Martin. I'm sure he told his wife this. Amazingly, it's just the opposite. Martin stated that the increase in serotonin levels, which happens during sex, eases the pathways in the brains that lead to and sustain a headache. So can you just jerk off and get rid of a headache?
Yeah, well, maybe, but it's different. It's definitely different.
Charles,
hold on.
Like, sometimes it works.
Maddie, I can just picture the foreplay at that house. Hi, honey. What's up? I have a headache. Oh, do you? You know, I can just see how that's going to go.
I know the cure. Olive oil and sex.
Let's not bring that up.
Yeah. Funny.
Number five. I love this one. Scratching your ankle feels as good as sex. The old phrase, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, may need updating. The ankle has overtaken the back as the most satisfying spot to scratch.
All right. You know, just so you know, everybody in Radio Land, there's five guys here. Four of them are just, excuse me, there's six guys here, and four of them have just started scratching their ankles.
In the study reported in the British Journal of Dermatology, healthy volunteers were made to itch on the forearm, ankle, and back by rubbing them with cowhage, a plant with tiny hairs that irritate the skin. Professor Francis McGlone, a member of the International Forum for the Study of Itch, said it was interesting that the ankle was the itchiest site and that the most pleasure came from scratching it because the back has been well known as preferred site for scratching.
It's only better in sex when you have a mosquito bite on your ankle. Then it's better.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Well, let's go to the next one.
Say, I love how Mikey directs this show. Yeah, next.
Next week on the Mikey Turzo Show.
Six. Men think about sleep and food as much as sex.
Yeah.
Men think about sex every 7 seconds, right? Not according to a new study that finds men ponder sleep and food as much as they do sex. The study found that the median number of thoughts about sex by college-aged men was 18 times a day to women's 10 times a day. But the men also thought about food and sleep proportionately more.
Pretty much at work every day, all I'm thinking about is how much I hate my job and I want to go to sleep, what am I going to eat next, and how much I want to bang the secretary.
First of all, money and death are also what men think about. Why is that not listed among the top thoughts?
Money and death?
Yeah.
Really?
You guys don't think about death and money as much as you think about sex and food?
No.
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 While at work, I think about blowing my brains out.
money maybe in the top 10.
Yeah, but money. Men don't think about money. Men think about the things that they need
first of all,
to do with money to buy achievement.
How do
money.
They know this? This is bullshit. Yeah. People just say, and they're supposed to take them at their word. This is not. This can't be scientifically proven. It's just they ask people questions.
All right,
it's
next
like
question.
Family Feud.
Finger length may indicate penis size. Number 7. Hold up your right hand. Are your index and ring fingers mismatched? Congratulations. You're more than likely than men with matching digits to have a long penis.
Fuck yeah.
It's not true in my case. Not true.
A smaller ratio between the second and fourth fingers is linked to a longer stretched penis size. Researchers report in the Asian Journal of Asian. Like, we're going to trust the Asians on anything to do with penis size. the findings go beyond providing a new finger ratio-based pickup line for men in bars. Researchers say that a quick look at a man's fingers could reveal his exposure to male hormones in the womb, providing a hint about his risk for hormone-driven diseases such as prostate
cancer.
If
you have longer fingers, you can scratch your ankles.
So what do we think of this?
Yeah.
Eh?
I mean,
it's the Asians talking about penises.
I mean, yeah,
we don't trust
them. We all know that the Asians are obsessed with the fact.
And by the way, everyone listening is like, oh, they must have small ones.
Yeah.
That we're denying
these
facts.
Megan's calling. Let's take this.
No. Let's just get on with the show. How many we got left, Maddie?
3 more.
All right.
Number 8, female orgasm is a form of natural selection. Orgasm is an evolutionary function of nature. In 1967, a man named Desmond Morris wrote a controversial book called The Naked Ape. The book looked at the female orgasm, suggesting that its purpose was not only to encourage interest in sexual activity, but also to promote exhaustion to encourage her to remain in the horizontal position, preventing sperm from leaking out.
This goes with the theory that women's bodies shut down natural rape.
He also suggested, wow, my God.
I'm
right. Joking, of course.
Let's not go there.
Also,
no, if ever there was a case I would call for an edit on the show, that would be the one.
He also suggested that women's difficulty in attaining orgasm with men was, in fact, a form of natural selection. Only the most patient, caring, and imaginative men considered preferred traits. Would have the best chance of eliciting an orgasm and thus successfully conceiving a child. So I guess Caesar's not having children. Oh, I joke. I kid.
Oh, you can
patient,
laugh at that, Mike.
Caring, imaginative.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. By the way, the Matthew Aaron Show, we are all licensed OBGYNs. So you are getting...
Speak for yourself,
what'd you
Harry,
think of
man.
That, though, Mikey?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah? You believe that? Do you believe it? Patience, caring, and imagination is the key to getting a orgasm out of a woman?
One thing I do totally believe is that an orgasm on a woman is as much mental as it is physical.
Well, that's what he's saying, natural selection.
Yeah. I think that's 100% true.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You just went from like 70 to 100. That's why I was asking.
Well, I mean, the way they stated it is if it's the same meaning that what I'm saying, I agree with that.
Okay, last two.
Doesn't exist.
Number 9. And a reminder, I'll be interviewing Gabriel Iglesias Friday for next week's show, next Wednesday.
Yep.
Going to be a good one. Number 9. Vibrators were used as a medical treatment during the 19th century. According to the Museum of Sex, the vibrator was originally used as a medicinal treatment for female hysteria during the 19th century. The vibrator-induced orgasms helped doctors dissipate hysteria's anxiety-related symptoms.
You know, I wonder what a vibrator looked like in the 1800s.
I wonder. There's actually a movie about it.
I wonder
or a
if
play.
The size
I mean,
of the vibrator had something to do with their
no,
thickness.
No. I don't think it. But, I mean, how did they have something that vibrated back then?
It was made of wood.
I mean, well, obviously.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Strapped it over your shoulder.
No. Yeah, you had a midget shake it really hard. The court jester midget shook it.
No, oh, boy.
Okay, last one. What is the percentage of men that use the magic blue pill? This is according to the National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases.
The amount of people that use the blue pill?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say 20.
I'm going to go higher. I'm going to say close to 50%.
I'll say 63.
25% of men over 60 years old admit to using the blue pill.
I'm still in the showcase.
They admit to it. Over 60, over 40, only 5% admit to using it. Now, Mikey and I know plenty of people over 40, and we know that's horseshit.
You know, let me tell you
Or we just happen to know the full 5%.
Yeah, I know plenty of people under 40. That
yeah, well, Luisi, that bastard,
well, hold on.
Fact, just said that it's. He says it's people 17 to 30 are the biggest users.
Well, here
really?
Here's the thing, though. Is this study looking at people using it, or is this study looking at people who have prescriptions to it?
Prescriptions.
Well, then that's totally going to throw all it off.
Okay, well, another interesting fact about middle-aged sex is that 46% of people over 50 claim they have sex once a week. 85% feel that sex at a more mature age is less pressurized when they were in their teens or the young adults. I don't believe that for a second.
Duh.
No.
I don't believe that for 5 seconds.
I don't want to think of any of our parents doing it anymore.
I don't believe 46% of the people over 50 are having sex once a week. I don't believe it. Yeah. It's time for our smoke. Wait, but I want to look up this Luisi fact real quick.
Okay.
If there is nothing on Google about people 17 to 30 using Cialis.
Actually, from what I've heard from some of my buddies, Cialis is supposed to be...
Okay, so here's what comes up when I type in what Luisi said. Chinese symbols. So
I love
I
that any of us
get it from the internet.
Any of us could say whatever we want, but when Luisi says something, it has to be rigorously fact-checked.
Yes, it does. I will fact-check that fucker. Let me see here. You would say, from the Luisi studies.
Yeah, Luisi, where did you get this information?
There's actually a magic. There is actually a website called MagicBluePill.com. Viagra news and commentary. We'll go to that another time. But
call a doctor if it lasts more than an hour. Three
all right,
hours.
Listen. In the next week, I am going to look up that little tidbit.
We'll talk about it next week's show.
So next week, join us for Gabriel Iglesias. I hope you enjoyed Edge, R-rated superstar, Adam Copeland. He's on Haven. You can watch that Fridays. Edge rated R is his Twitter handle, and he's also on Facebook under Adam Copeland. I want to thank Lee Capreas,
yes.
Charles Salvatore, Mikey Terzo, Alex Luisi, and Adam Bennett for doing my sound. Thanks, Adam. Even though Caesar said it sucked, and it's all your fault, he said. He says he fucking hates you.
Well, Caesar.
You know what I hear when Caesar bitches at me? Yeah.
Who the fuck turns my mic off?
Especially when he was going to defend you.
A wise man.
You know what? It's just when people complain at me, all I hear is Chuck's girlfriend. So we'll see you. Have a good evening.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.